Blog Talk Radio.
Let's drop that old one that we used to do back in the day.
IQ.
My cue.
ready to quit. Probably the reason why bitches be hating and waiting to comment on all of my shit. Speaking the tongues, I be spitting the shit that be having these weak bitches ready to quit. Speaking the tongues, I be spitting the shit that be having these weak bitches ready to quit. Speaking the tongues, I be spitting the shit that be having these weak bitches ready to quit. Probably the reason why bitches be hating and waiting to comment on all of my shit. Speaking the tongues, I be spitting the shit that be having these weak bitches ready to quit. Speaking the tongues, I be spitting the shit that be having these weak bitches ready to quit. Speaking the tongues, I be spitting the shit that be having these weak bitches ready to quit. Probably the reason why bitches be hating and waiting to comment on all of my shit. Speaking the tongues, I be spitting the shit that be having these weak bitches ready to quit. Speaking the tongues, I be spitting the shit that be having these weak bitches ready to quit. Speaking the tongues, I be spitting the shit that be having these weak bitches ready to quit. Probably the reason why bitches be hating and waiting to comment on all of my shit. Speaking the tongues, I be spitting the shit that be having these weak bitches ready to quit. Speaking the tongues, I be spitting the shit that be having these weak bitches ready to quit. Speaking the tongues, I be spitting the shit that be having these weak bitches ready to quit. Probably the reason why bitches be hating and waiting to comment on all of my shit.
Thank you. soon, children, it's time to slam.
Get up,
get your house on, children, it's time to dance.
Get up,
get your house on, children, it's time to clap.
Get up,
get your house on, children, it's time to jack.
Get up,
get your house on, children, it's time to stomp.
Get up,
get your house on, children, it's time to work.
Drop that old one that we used to do back in the day. In the day.
kind of psychological change in your life?
You went back to being a man.
Oh, you went back to being a man. Touch this skin, darling. Touch this skin, honey. Touch all of this skin.
Get in. Dallas, Texas, get ready. The Who Do You Think You Are Ball. Saturday, November 30th. Presented by Abounding Prosperity, along with the icon pioneer, Larry Ebony, and the Gulf Coast Prince, Kendall Escada. Grand prize, $1,500, open to all realness, with the look and attitude of a celebrity. Mini grand, open to all sex sirens, for $500. Open to all best dress, $500. Open to all runway, $500. And performance bliss, for $250. That's the Who Do You Think You Are Ball, Saturday, November 30th, in Dallas, Texas. The location, Fiesta Event Center, 704 South Walton Boulevard, Dallas, Texas. Doors open at 7, LSS, at 8 p.m. Your commentator, the icon, Jack Mizrahi. Admission, $30. Tables, $100 before November 15th. $150 afterwards. There will be HIV testing at the event center and free admission for those that get tested. Again, the Who Do You Think You Are Ball, presented by Abounding Prosperity, the icon Larry Ebony, and Prince Kendall Escada. For more information, visit Facebook and the event page for November 30th. The Who Do You Think You Are Ball. Get ready, Hollywood, Florida. Sierra Mizrahi presents an African Affair Ball, November 15th. Grand prize, open to all tag team fates for $1,000. Your Highness, tonight we want to see royalty, a history lesson in Egypt. Grand prize number two, Miss Universe, best gown presentation for $500. Mini grand number one, open to all, teen realness for $250. Shadow of the Dynasty. Mini Grand number 2, Open to All, Tag Team Runway, 250, The Mummy. Grand Prize number 3, Between Both Them, Soft and Cunt versus Dramatics, for $250, plus a $10 pot. That's the African Affair Ball, presented by Sierra Mizrahi. November 15th. Location, Hollywood JC, 2930 Hollywood Boulevard. Doors open at 8 p.m. LSS at 9. Admission, $30 all night. VIP tables, $100. Your MC, Greg Lavin. Your DJ, King Jubilee. For more information, contact Sierra Mizrahi on Facebook or visit the event page, November 15th, An African Affair.
Welcome to the State of Emergency Show. I am your host, Jasmine Couture, and I'm sorry that I'm late. Am I really sorry? But yeah, y'all know how it goes sometimes. For those of you that don't know how Wednesday night goes, the show starts between 11:30 and 11:45 because I'm usually running a little late on Wednesdays. Mondays and Tuesdays, the show starts averagely around 11:30. And you guys get to hear beats Monday through Wednesday at 11 p.m. until the show starts. So for everybody that hits me up and says, I only hear music, what time is the show starting? That is because for the past 6 years, that is how we do things around here, and we will continue to do them. It's just like a ball. You know, we say we're going to start on time, but we still got to give enough time for the children to enter the building. So it's no different. But, you know, Wednesday is some of my TV shows, and between that and work and getting prepared for the evening, I get a little run. I run a little late, so I do apologize for those of you who were waiting. But now you can close out those apps, get off of Jack and BGC and all the rest of that bullshit, and tune into the State of Emergency Show, where tonight we will be talking about different topics pertaining to our ballroom community, concerns that we want to address, and the tough questions that people are afraid to ask. Two topics in general that we will be discussing are hookup apps, those BGC, Adam for Adam, Jacked, Grindr, all those type of apps. Are they safe? Are they dangerous? Are they contributing to the spread of STDs? Are they productive when it comes to meeting someone, or is it more destructive? We're going to talk about those apps. We're going to talk about meeting people and things of that sort. And J-Rock is also going to be talking about a topic that he wanted to bring up, which had to do with... he has to bring it up again. I remember what it is, but I don't have it in front of me, so I don't want to sound like an idiot as I'm promoting it. Oh, yeah. Do you think your child is gay? What can you as a parent do to ensure your child still matures to be a productive citizen in this society? Tonight, J-Rock and our panelists want to talk about things that parents should know about raising a gay child and preventing them from falling into the hands of predators due to being disowned by you, parents. So he wants to bring that up. Oh, sis, great. I'm glad you're listening. And I'll be looking out for you if you press one. You know, I hate being the only girl on the show. Besides Shamika, of course. But, you know, I'm talking about us special women. Anyway, how's everybody doing? Did everyone watch American Horror Story tonight? Was it interesting? Was Kathy Bates really gagging the girls? She gagged me when she started crying that President Obama was president. Talking about that box. They're lying in that box. I forget the way she said it, but she was reading the television. She said the television was spitting out lies. Ugh, it was a key. And Miss Mama was having her son. Child. She was really having her son. A key. Anyway, honey, we'll get to that a little later on, but I'm going to start bringing on our panelists. Some of you guys, you know who they are, and some haven't sat with us for a while, but they're always welcome to sit, as well as you are always welcome to sit on the panel with us if you like. Just hit me up, and we'll bring you on. So, in no particular, well, in the particular order that they have called in, I will bring everyone on individually. Calvin, you're on the air.
Hi, everybody. Hi, Jasmine. How are you?
How are you?
I'm doing great, baby. Can't complain.
I know that's right. Did you enjoy your evening yesterday?
I really did. It was. Always magical when it comes to me and our baby.
I know, that's right. Okay, I'm going to go to the next person. Shamika, you're on the air.
Hey, everybody. And she said the magic box is telling lies.
Yeah, the magic box. That's what it was.
Yeah, Shamika.
I know I can always count on you, Shamika, girl. She said the magic box is spitting out lies. She was lying to us. She couldn't take it, honey.
She was really hurt.
She was. She was really gagging.
But I love how Fiona made her queen of stepping stool. Like, bitch, you want to get smart? Now you have slaves.
Yeah.
Yeah, I gagged when Fiona told her that I voted for him twice, Eddie. We'll talk about it later, child. We got to get into the topics really quickly. J-Rock, you're on the air.
Could y'all please stop talking about American Horror Story, because I'm going to hang up early so I can catch the encore, and y'all are killing it for me.
Unfortunately... Yeah, let me tell y'all something, y'all late queens. Y'all need to start watching this show early. Just like y'all watch Scandal, start watching that early, honey. Y'all know y'all can put them damn apps down and close the apps out, honey. Dick ain't going nowhere.
Baby, I was on my way home when that show came on, and I don't like catching it in the middle, and I forgot to push DVR. So I didn't want to catch it in the middle or nothing like that, so I said, I'm going to just wait. So, and then it's actually on right now, but I'm like, no, the show is early. It's going to come back on at 12:30, so, well, 1:30 your time.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I don't want to really ruin it for anybody, but sometimes it just be, ugh, you just got to talk about it. But, yeah, we'll save it for later. I'm sorry if we spoiled it for anybody, but there was a lot more, honey, that went on, so we'll keep hush-hush until it happens. Dick, you're on the air.
What's good?
How are you?
I'm doing very well.
And welcome back to the floor. She's sitting with us tonight, my sister. Vonna, you're on the air.
Hey, everyone.
Hi Vonna.
How are you, Jasmine?
I miss you, girl.
I miss you more.
I just seen Vonna the other day.
Yeah, I saw you in D.C.
We were cutting up at the ball, and then I seen you at the station.
Yes, God, she's here.
Well, before we get deep into things, Vonna, really quickly, are you watching Scandal and American Horror Story as well?
God, yes. I watched it. I watched it early. So, yeah, I've already seen that.
Okay, cool. All right, well, let's get the show on the road, and we will get the ball rolling. Oh, I see Brian on the air. Brian, you're on the air. How are you, Brian?
Hey, how you doing, everybody?
Hello.
What's going on, Brian?
Nothing, cold as hell up here in New York, and just getting, looking at, you know, Scandal and Horror Story, but... Yeah, I saw your topic and wanted to comment. I don't.
Well, let me start the topic off before we get into it, and then you'll be the first person I come to, okay?
Okay.
Okay, so let me start it off first, and then I'll come to you and everybody else that presses one, but I don't even know where we're going to start yet, so we'll be back with you in a sec, but thank you, Brian. So, J-Rock, when you posted the topic today, did you get any feedback or anything like that? You know, today was like everybody was, I don't know, Facebook was kind of dead today. Did you get any type of, you know, feedback? Do you want to start that off, or do you want to start off with the, you know, with the apps and stuff?
Oh, we can start off with mine just in case the apps get all carried away and some of the straight listeners that are parents that decided to call in or listening on a computer, they'll probably be like, what the heck is they talking about? So we can start off with mine.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah, I did get some feedback, actually, because I actually posted this in some of the straight rooms that I'm in. Like, I wouldn't say straight rooms, but just some of the rooms that's nothing about ballroom or gay lifestyle, you know. So, and I've had a couple of people was like, you know, this is very interesting, or they're very interested to know what I'm talking about. And what sparked this up, I'm pretty sure y'all all know about it, but it's a lot of stuff I still be finding out. And I had a couple of people come to me, probably I think it was like three people that talked about this same group of people that was in Dallas. I'm not going to mention any names because I'm not like that, and if somebody was to say something to me, I'm going to prison. So I'm not going to mention any names, but there are certain people. I'll just give you one particular story, really brief. The young man was like 22, and he was like, I know you probably don't understand why I'm so evil all the time or why I treat these other people the way that I do. And then I said, well, why do you do that? And he was like, you know, when he was 15 years old, his mom had found out that he was gay. And the way that she found out was he said he came home from school, and this 18-year-old boy that he was talking to did not call his cell phone. He called the house phone and left a message. So he walks in the house, and his mom is sitting there with a cigarette, and she said, I want you to listen to something. And then the message was like, why are you not answering your phone? You know I love you and everything, and we got something special and all that after we didn't did what we didn't did and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, first of all, why would he do that? So then she was like, so you're gay and blah, 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 whatever. She started burning them with the cigarette and all this kind of stuff, saying, get the fuck out of my house because I'm not raising a faggot. I'm not raising no girl. You wasn't a girl, whatever. He got his stuff. His grandmother called him, so he just knowing that his grandmother is going to be like, you can come here. So his grandmother was like, I know you're sad. I know you're upset and everything, and your mom was wrong for this and wrong for that. She shouldn't have did it that way and blah, 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 blah. But you can't come here because you know I'm saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, and I can't have that under my roof. So he couldn't go by grandmother, which is the only person he can go by. He couldn't go by mother. He really didn't have no other family in that area, so he went by his friend. His friend, which was the same age, around the same age as him, was living with a bunch of more already seasoned queens. And those, you know, like a lot of queens pack up together, and it'd be like, you know, six to a house or maybe five to a one-bedroom or whatever. So he went to stay by there because he had nowhere to go. Well, they got him drunk for the first time, and when they got him drunk, Next thing you know, he woke up in the morning hurting and everything, and he asked what happened. He asked his friend what happened, and his friend told him that what happened, and everybody, at least about 6 to 7 people that was living in that house, raped him. But here goes the thing. He didn't know what to do because he's looking at it as, if I go report this, this is a 15-year-old thinking, if I go report this, I will not have anywhere to go. My mama don't want me. My grandmother don't want me. My family turned their back on me. Nobody loves me. But these people are letting me stay here. Maybe this is the way gay people are supposed to be. This is what he's telling me. He thinking that's what, well, maybe this is what we do. That's what we're supposed to do. So to make a long story short, they used them, abused them, all this kind of stuff, and used to always treat them bad and all this stuff. And then when he turned around by like 20, he realized, you know, like, wow, this is, you know, it's not right, and he got away from them. But when he broke away from them, now he's like really scarred, and he always say he can't talk to anybody because every time he talks to somebody, it always comes back up. Oh, I heard about you or something like that. He's glad he's not strung out on drugs, but now he's an alcoholic. But that was just one of the stories from the same group of people that I've heard. And it's like about like 3 people that told me the same type of exact story, but some of them have got diseases. Some of them have got turned out on drugs. And it's just like I had never heard nothing like that, but then when I started telling this to people, they're like, oh, that happens all the time when they go get a young person and they turn them out and they call them, you know, like if the name of your last name of your house is Robinson, the younger person, they call them Robinson's pussy. And the, if they say Robinson's pussy, it's like saying this is the person that everybody in the house fucks or something like that, or try to turn out and stuff like that. And my thing is that kind of brought me, that's why I brought the subject up, because a lot of parents out there, when they find out that their kids are gay, whether it's a male, female, I've had people say, I think my daughter like girls and stuff like that. And I always tell them, it's up to you how your child is going to turn out. If you shun them and you turn them away and say, oh, you this and you that, get away, you dirty, you're going to hell, all this stuff, guess what? Now you're leaving them to all the predators out there in the world with that young mind. But if you say, I understand, I don't agree with it, but are you going to stay in school? What are you doing with your life? Still be, you know what I'm saying? Showing them love versus turning them away. You don't have to agree with their lifestyle, but still preach to them getting out of school, going to college, or getting a job, doing that kind of stuff, and what your rules is for your house. But don't just say, you know, get the, you know, like, shun them away, because like you leave them out there for, especially that young, you leave them out there for those predators. And I'm pretty sure it's more horror stories that come from that. So that's where it came from.
There's a lot of different horror stories out there, and I'm sure everybody can actually, you know, relate to, well, not everybody, but a lot of us can relate to different things like that. Because it has happened. The one thing is that if you come from a household, parents who don't, or single moms or whatever, that don't understand the lifestyle and they're not that, experienced, and, you know, they just, you know, are not as open-minded, then that's what they're going to run into. And then, you know, of course, it's going to be a domino effect when it comes to it, because you have the mother who is yawning and having sound effects. Somebody sounds very tired. I know it's late, girl, but get some coffee, honey. You know, the one person doesn't understand, and then you reach out to, you know, an older person like your grandmother, your grandfather, and you know, of course, they'll bring up the religion part, and, you know, and people feel like they get so lost that, you know, they don't have no one to reach out to, no one's going to understand, and the first person that they do, fine, you know, may understand, but understand for the wrong reasons. And that's why we see a lot of, this is nothing new. It's been happening for years, honey. and that's exactly what happens. And then you have these community pieces out there, and everybody wants to run through them. And, I mean, it's really sad. It's really sad. Hold on a second. Send me what you want me to send. I mean, send me what you want me to say. And I will, wow, and I will read it on the air. So really type it out for me in detail like you're saying it, because I see what you're saying and I want to be able to say it, but I want to say it clearly so they can understand. So maybe retype it in your words like you were speaking, and I will read it on the air for you, sweetie, but I won't use your name or nothing. Calvin, what is your opinion on this topic? And I'm going to, as I wait for one of the listeners to send me over what they want to send. If anybody has anything they want to say, but they don't want to get on the air and share it for whatever reasons, feel free to inbox me or send it to me directly, and I will have no problem reading it on the air or to any of the cast members or panelists that you may want to share with them or something. And we can share this out there and let people hear, you know, your opinion. If we have any listeners out there that want to call in and press one, if it, you know, you as an individual, you as a parent, anyone, please call in. Feel free to call in, and we can address the topic. I'm going to ask each of the panelists in order what they feel about this and, you know, get some feedback from them. Go ahead, Calvin. What is your opinion on what J-Rock is talking about?
I personally did not actually go through anything, I would guess to say, mortifying or horrifying when I came out to my mother. But I actually, my cousin, one of my first cousins, when he came out to his mother, you know, she was a Bible thumper, she was a holy roller, and when he came out, it seemed like everything was his fault. When my uncle used to beat him, when he wouldn't even get in trouble. My uncle would make stuff up on him, and she got mad and actually put him in a boys' home. My mom, on the other hand, would take him in, like, because he was always in a boys' home in Baltimore or D.C. Every time he came home to visit for Thanksgiving or what it was, he would have to come stay at our house. And I can actually see the effect it took out on him. I love him to death because he's my family and I always will, but we never get along. He always tends to cling on to my mom as his mom, and he tries to always one-up me and my sister. Like, you know, if I wash the dishes, then he has to wash the dishes and put them away. You know, if I take in the groceries, he has to take them in, put them away, and cook dinner. Like, he always has to one-up. And like I said, I love him, but we can't get along. And I know it's from what he's been through. And it saddens me because my aunt now, she's deceased. But he, first of all, didn't even really get to know his mother because he was put in a home at a very young age. And second of all, she's dead now. So he can't even go back and ask for forgiveness or talk to her about this situation. You know, I can't imagine what some of these kids go through at a young age. And, you know, like Jasmine said, if you have something you need to say or you want to say on the air and you don't feel like saying it, please feel free to inbox me or anybody else, because this is something serious. There's kids killing themselves. There's kids who's holding things in because they have been molested and so on and so forth. This is not good.
Yeah, and I'll share a story. I think I've shared it before on the air, and I'll share it again tonight because I know we always have new listeners. But I'll share that after I go down the line about something, you know, not really as similar, but kind of similar. And I'll say what I pretty much did with it as well, because I did come from a family that did not understand, and it was a lot of stuff with that. But Shamiko, your opinion on all this?
Me personally, I don't have kids as of yet, but when I do decide to have some, I don't think I would be, you know, one of those parents who's like, you know, weirded out by having a gay child. I think I would embrace it more than anything. Not saying I would want my child to be gay, but I think by me being interested in the ballroom and a gay lifestyle and, you know, a lot of, you know, good people that are gay, I think I would be a lot more acceptable than, you know,
I have a question for you, and it's and I just want to ask, when you say not that you would want your child to be gay, but if your child, why, not saying that you want it or if you can control it or whatever, but why do you say if I, you know, not that I want my child to be gay.
No, not
like,
saying
do you think
I want to have a little
boy. Wrong?
No, I'm not saying something's wrong, but I don't think I would get pregnant, like, wishing to have a gay child. Like, that's...
Okay, I got you. And do you think that it's kind of hard? Would that be the reason? Because you feel that, like, it's hard for, you know, the gay lifestyle, and you think that, you know, you don't really want your child to go through that? Because I've said it before, like, you know, I wouldn't want to have...
Yeah, it's like the emotional and verbal abuse
mm-hmm.
from others, not me. I have one of my close best friends who's gay, and it's like he never had to come out to his parents because they always knew. Like, since he was born, he was gay. Like, you know, he was always that, like, as we call it down here, sweet. So one of his father, but he always wanted to get on his dad's good side. His dad was one of these big second liners. If y'all know what second lining is, the type of dance we do down here. And he used to go to all the second lines, dance like his dad, whatever, whatever. His dad had a best friend who, I guess, caught on to him being gay at a young age. So at about 9 or 10, his dad's best friend started coming over molesting him.
Yeah.
Wow.
And this happened for some years, and it finally stopped once his father passed away. But I think he tried to do something to him, like during a repast or a funeral or something like that. But the thing I can say is it kind of is a bad trait, kind of, because he kind of, I don't know if he kind of admitted to me that he molested his own brother who was confused about where he is in life right now. He didn't know if he was gay or not, so he told me he did it because he didn't want his brother going out there messing with any other gay person and getting HIV, so he would rather him experiment with him. So,
wow.
I don't know. Me and my other best friend, it's me, my best friend, and him. My best friend's a girl and it's him. And we're like a circle. And so, like, me and her never conversed about it. We never... Once he told us that, because we were sitting there, like, telling secrets, once he told us that, it never moved from that dinner table because we were out eating. We never talked about it or anything, but he's one of those friends who, oh, bitch, that's why that boy left you, you know, stuff like that. But we've never been, you know, I'm not a salty person like that. I'm not going to throw it back in your face. If he told me something in confidence, like, that's where we get into it. That's where we fall out. But with him, I think... because it started at a young age that he still has that, it's not even a molestive gene, but he has that, you know, he's grown to be a little bit more acceptable of doing something like that to others, I guess, because it's been done to him.
No shade, Shamika. I understand that because I was molested at a young age, and for years I thought it, oh, I'm going to cry. I thought it was okay.
And another thing, my mom's gay best friend, Kent, he was a molester, but he was always around us and never played with us. But my mom always told us he was a molester, but he was never left alone with us. But he liked boys, not girls. And I have two brothers, an older brother and a younger brother. But he always went to the store for us, anything mom needed, he did. But he even did incest within his brothers because his family was nothing but boys. But he never, like, I think... it stopped somewhere. Like, I know it's some things, because not to this day he still messes with younger boys or whatever, who cut his grass, do whatever, I don't know, weed heads, whatever. But I think some of them, you know, some molesters have a limit, because I always knew my mom would tell us he's a molester, and Kent like boys, and we all laugh a lot or whatever, but Kent never. It would be some times when, like, he was out and gay, but he was kind of unstable and gay, because, like, he'll have a place and then sometimes he wouldn't and get a new, you know, he always bounced back through the years, but sometimes he'll have to come and take showers by our house and stuff like that, and he never did us anything. I don't know.
All right, let's go to the next person. Thank you, Shamika. Dick, what is your opinion on all this?
Oh, wow. I don't know. When it comes to the whole, coming out to your family and all that kind of stuff or whatever, and them accepting you or not, the most that I can probably say about that is that, you know, at some point, whether they allow you to stay in their homes or not, because you can't really particularly tell a mother, a father, a grandmother, an uncle, you know, what to do with their own home. They work for that. You know, they get up, they bust their asses every day for what they believe in. or whatever. So for me to push my, you know, beliefs on someone else, I think it's totally wrong. I will hope that anybody would accept it. But, you know, just in case they didn't, I will hope that they would at least find it within their hearts to sit down and have the safe sex message talk to whatever children, because I think that's a lot of something that's going wrong with society today. Mainly anybody that you come across, I don't think none of us, you know, of the younger generation, parents have actually literally sat down with you and said, okay, this is what you're supposed to do. This is what you're not supposed to do. This is, you know, what's going on out here. You can catch this if you don't use this or you don't use that. So safe sex more than anything. As I've said before on the show, whatever, I have two biological children. They're both 9 years old. And I think that I'm not going to say which one, but one of my children is turning out to have homosexual tendencies. At this time, we're not really addressing it yet. My son's mother have already sat out and talked about it. There's just some things that are just sticking out to me. At this point, we're not even addressing it. We're just allowing him to be a young child and grow up. And, you know, if I feel at that time that I need to sit out and have a talk with my son, then I'll do so at that time. Will I accept it? Yes, I will. You know, I just hope that he doesn't make some of the mistakes that I've made or many other people have made. I just hope that, you know, he's a very smart young boy. So, you know, hopefully he'll go in a whole another direction or whatever. His whole sexual preference is his business, period. Who am I to tell this man what he can and cannot do with his private areas? You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I just hope that, you know, he turns out to be a great and successful person. But I just don't, when it comes to molestation, I don't even only think that sometimes it's adults. I have a friend, and I've been friends with this person for like about maybe 16 or 17 years, and he has a niece. However, this niece had a mother who married a man, and one night this man came in. He had been drinking. He was sitting on the couch, and the niece caught this man on the couch, which is her stepfather, and she began to do things with him while he was drunk. However, you know, he began to, you know, I guess, receive it and start to do things back. So that stopped. Nothing else happened after that as far as sex goes. But what she would do was she started using it to her advantage. When her mother would tell her she couldn't go out to a house party or something of that nature, she would say, you know, tell her to let me go. And he would always say, well, go ahead and let her go out. You know, it's not going to be that late. She's not going to start that late. She's a good girl, all this kind of stuff. And finally, you know, one day the mother said, no, she's not going tonight. So she went to the stepfather and she said, well, if I can't go out tonight, I'm going to tell. I'm going to tell what we did. And he got tired of her telling her, I mean, you know, her threatening him about what she was going to tell. So she said, well, go ahead. And he said, go ahead and tell. So, you know, I think he probably thought that she was never going to do it, but she did. She went in the living room and she told her mother what had happened. So her mother put her out, called the police. The stepfather went to jail. He actually did almost, I think, 4 or 5 years. But when he came home, you know, the mother was still having seen him and visiting him in jail while he was in jail about it or whatever. And when he came home, the mother was confused and didn't know what to do. So she seeked out some spiritual guidance from her church. And her minister said, you know, marriage is sacred and you should, you know, your husband is supposed to come first or whatever. So what she did was she ended up putting her daughter out again, once again, and her daughter lives with my friend. And she bring her husband back. So when it comes to molestation, it can just go all types of ways. I don't know. I mean, this it's a subject.
Yeah,
that
molestation definitely can go all types of ways. And the information that I'm getting is really deep. I'm gonna let Vonna go, and then I'm gonna read some stuff over, and I'm also gonna share. Go ahead, Vonna.
Wow. I'm getting back used to this because my head's kind of heavy. Being a person who's been a gay mother for so long, I guess I've heard probably every kind of horror story you can possibly imagine. Being inside the scene since '96, you know, I've seen almost every horror story. It just so happened that, you know, being my mom and my dad, well, are, you know, Christians. They are very devout into their religion, but they never shun me. They never, you know, they very accept me. I'm a Maya to them. You know, I'm the daughter. You know, they're very, 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 very acceptive. They did not push me away. So I think I didn't personally have those horror stories because of them. But I have a gay son who, you know, he met somebody, a guy. The guy brought him over to a house full of people. We used to call it the mansion in Detroit. And then, you know, he got HIV his first time out from being, you know, around those people. So, you know, everybody, in this lifestyle, you're going to definitely have a lot of the horror stories. But it's even in straight world where, you know, the father or the mother are harboring the little girl too much or trying to keep her from the world so she go out and she, you know, she cut up and she be pregnant at 13. So it's not just privy to, you know, gay people. And when it comes to touch on molestation a little bit, it's mighty funny that, you know, we look at, you know, the molestation of children, you know, one way, but we are in ballroom where I can honestly tell you, definitely being a house mother, that it's we have 15 to 16-year-old people in our house and everything. You have 15 to 16-year-olds at balls and stuff. And, you know, it's okay to have sex with them, but it's not okay, you know, but we don't frown upon it when it's outside of ballroom. But if it's in ballroom, we most of the time you don't even ask guys these ages. Going to the topic that you'd have later on, you know, with these Jackson, these Adams the same way.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
We, you know, a lot of these guys talk to these younger babies, ask them for butt shots and dick shots and all of this on Facebook. And, you know, just because his profile on Facebook says 18, you can look at him in his face until he's 13, but you paying it because you want to have a good time. You know, it's just, it all ties into your own mental stability. And I've never been the one, and Jasmine, you definitely know this, I am so a person that does not believe in a crutch. You know, what we've been through in our past, what obstacles we've overcome does not determine who you are as a person. You know, your father could have beat you. You could have been molested. You know, but so many people have these same stories and have overcome. And not saying that one person is stronger than the next. It's just about finding that inner strength in yourself. And I think that in gay people, we don't tend to do that. We tend to want to place the blame on someone versus standing up and saying, okay, I've been through something. And maybe if I teach somebody else, they won't have to, but it also will make me stronger in the end. So I don't think that we always kind of, we don't think sometimes. We just place the blame or we cover our own demons with, you know, the cloth of pointing the finger at somebody else.
Yeah, and you're 100% right, and I think that's why what J-Rock was really addressing, not the victims, not the children themselves, not the people that it happened to, but the parents, you know, as parents, what can you do to help the children? Because a lot of parents always feel that, you know, it's not them. I didn't do nothing wrong. It wasn't me, and it was just them. So, you know, that's what a lot of happens with parents.
Yeah.
I'm going to actually share something from a parent. She's actually getting ready for bed, and she's listening. But she said, for me, I'm a woman of faith and life experiences as well. Personally, my son found it difficult to come out to me at first. But what he didn't realize is that I already kind of knew something was amiss, but I couldn't put my finger on it. Now, I love my son. And although I would have chosen a different path for him, I accept him as he is. And since meeting many in the ballroom scene, my heart is open to many who I can feel need that motherly love. That's just my opinion. My biggest concern for my son was always the risque lifestyle of the ballroom scene. But there were a few people who looked out for my son. Luna, Boogie, Angel Revlon, and a few others. I'm grateful for all of them. And that comes from Red Snapper. Thank you, Red Snapper, as always, and we love you. She's such a great person. I also have a story from another individual. I'm going to try to read it in his words and, you know, let you guys, hopefully you guys can understand it. because I'm actually reading it, and, you know, okay, because it's kind of deep. At the age of 9, my mom had a husband that would wake me up for school and start feeling on me. He looked at me in the mirror, and he would look at me in the mirror and say, "You love Daddy?" And he would make me suck his dick every morning until I was 12. I started to love it. Then he stopped and left my mother. I was lost as a kid. No one understood me. I started fighting everywhere I went, and I didn't think anyone loved me. I tried to tell my mother. She put me out, and I walked the streets for days until I found out about the legendary AdamForAdam.com. And the first time I hooked up with a 24-year-old, I was 15. He told me he loved me, and he would be there for me, and I let him give me Tina and fuck me. I got sick and had to go to the hospital. They asked my mom, "Did I need an HIV test?" She said, "Yes." I had HIV at the age of 15 with that first experience. I tried to kill myself 3 times, and even at 23, it hurt so bad. But I do have a 2-year-old goddaughter that I take care of, and I'm so afraid to let people come around her. All I can do is pray and live for my baby girl. Now listen to that. That's sad.
Wow.
And that's, yes, that's really sad. And that's something that I can't even, all I can do, like I said to him, God bless you. You know, that's the only thing you can say. And I'm sure
that
there's
what,
so many...
It's mm-hmm. and you were just about to say that, and I'm sorry for cutting you off. But that story, as sad as it is, and as heavy as it sits on my heart, it is so common. It's just that
common.
People just
yes.
don't talk about it. You know,
nope.
that's you can probably have 1,000 people in the ballroom, and 500 of them have that exact same story.
Yep. That's it. And you know what? The thing that gets me with this whole thing is, yes, it's common, but what's also so common is how the parents are so quick to turn on their child when the child is reaching out. You never know what the signs are. They are reaching out to you. And they may be reaching out with being rebellious. They may be reaching out with an angry spirit, but you have to realize that, hold on, something is wrong with my child, and maybe I need to sit back and see what is going on. It was the same thing with me, and I'm not going to make it a long, drawn-out story. I had an uncle who was molesting me for years. I also had a godfather who was molesting me for years, and one day, This my same uncle, he not only was he molesting me as a child, and it did stop when I got older and my mother found out, but as a teenager, then he wants to be a crackhead, he wants to always steal shit in the house, and it seemed like he was always stealing my shit, because even as a young teenager, I loved electronics. I loved everything about electronics, so, you know, CD players and VCRs and, you know, all that stuff, Walkmans and everything. I loved always having that, and here comes his crackhead ass. So every time my grandmother wants to, you know, let him in the house because she feels sorry for him because they beat him up and all this and that. So, oh, I got to let him in. He don't have nowhere to go, and he's not going to do nothing. And a week or two later, he done stole the TV. He done stole her jewelry. He done stole all my CDs and all that shit. And it was like he always was doing shit to me. As a child, he was raping me. As a teenager, he was robbing me. And one day I got into an argument with my grandmother because I said I was going to call the cops. And she said, "No, that's your uncle. You're not going to call the cops." And I said, "You're always taking up for him. He's been hell in my life ever since I was a child, even when he was raping me." And you know what my grandmother said when I said, even as he was raping me, she looks at me and says, "You were supposed to forget about that." How do you forget about that? And that, and I, even to this day, I still hold, I do love her, and I care about her. She's still alive. But I still hold a small amount of animosity to her. She lives about maybe 15 minutes away from me, and I may see her maybe twice a year because I just don't take the time to go see her. Because there's things that she did as I was growing up, and that happened to be one of them. How can you tell someone who has been through this, you were supposed to forget about this? You know, I don't understand, you know, parents, and you don't have no one to turn to, and, you know, when you go to a family member, you know, they want to look at you like, well, what did you do? Well, you had to have something to do with this. Well, you had to have a role in this. And that's why, you know, we all reach to the wrong avenues. We go out there and we look in the wrong avenues. And again, it goes to the next topic about these apps. You know, back then for me, there was no apps. The only thing back then was a fucking party line. You know, and anybody know, not even chat line, party line. We was all in one group just talking at the same time. You can go private and stuff with people. That was the only escape. Because you had no one else to talk to. Nowadays, bitch, you know what, fuck this. I'll just get on an app real quick, look at a dick, look at an ass, go fuck real quick, and then, you know, I don't have to be bothered with this. But then look what happens also. Like Vonna said, they don't be caring about ages. All they be caring about is busting a nut. So it's just, it really comes with a lot. So it's just real deep when it comes to parents. And it's just really crazy because we sit here and we wonder why there's so many young people in this scene and what are they doing and why a lot, you know, even to you, Dick, you sit here and you have said before, well, you know, a lot of these people don't have no education or the way they're typing, and you can tell that they don't have no education or they don't know how to spell and stuff. But if you really get deep down into a lot of these people's history, a lot of these people left home, abandoned homes. They went out there and they had nowhere to go. They couldn't continue with their education because the only thing they knew was street smarts and survival because they had nowhere else to go. And as you're trying to survive and worry about what you're putting in your mouth, you're not trying to think about what you're putting in your brain. And that's why a lot of people have don't have the education. Now, is that an escape? No, because, you know, nowadays people can continue with their education. My grandmother, my other grandmother, she wound up getting her psych degree. I think she was 60. You know, she was going to college at 50 and 60, you know, before she passed. But, you know, it's never too late. People can actually go out there and continue with the education. And like Vonna said, you know, you learn from what you went through, but that doesn't mean that it has to stop you. You don't have to continue to scream victim because there's still so many other outlets out there that you can continue to do better for yourself and learn from it. So it's really a touchy subject, and I'm glad you brought it up, J-Rock, but wow, it's just really, really deep. I think I'm getting more messages. Hold on. Jasmine, some old folks have that idea that those things shouldn't be talked about. They try to hide it because the shame, it's too much for them to bear. Yeah, the guilt. A lot of them have parents who were children themselves and didn't know enough to teach their children how to raise them. Yeah, a lost generation. I agree with you. You know, that's really a lot. If we have any callers that want to touch up on this subject, please feel free to press 1, and we will talk about, we can address anything. And if you have anything you want to send over to anyone, please feel free to send it over to them, and we will get the ball rolling with that as well. We have a caller, 704-361. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hey, this is an interesting topic only because, you know, I'm young myself, and I'm just, you know, I've witnessed and experienced the same things that, you know, all the older heads are talking about and stuff. But it really gets to me only because what y'all have been saying is that, you know, the kids want someone who's going to nurture them and love them and understand them, which really got me because you can't expect a straight person to understand a gay person. It's not feasible. You can't, it's not going to happen. And then, you know, the gay people are getting mistreated by the straight people, but that's just how life works. This isn't a perfect world, you know? And I really feel for the kids who have been molested as a child. But at the same time, we have to understand the times that we are living in. Just because there's a new law or, you know, someone printed up a piece of paper and printed something on it to make something established, it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to take it away from how people interact with each other. A lot of gay people have been molested, but at the same time, their parents probably have been molested as well. So it's like the parent understands how life works. They're not complaining about it. They wake up, go to work, and they understand this isn't a perfect world. The gay child, to me, just sounds like I've never had a parent. But they're too young to understand what life really is. And some things do happen to people as far as molestation or dropping out of school because it wasn't in their path to do so. And a lot of people feel like just because a new law is written or because, you know, somebody who is a governor or a mayor or a president says something, you know, it applies to them. And in all actuality, it's not saying that it does apply to them, but at the same time, life is not fair. It is not a perfect world. And then we have a lot of gay people saying, you know, we have the ballroom scene, a lot of old people coming to the young kids saying, you know, let's have sex or let's do et cetera, but at the same time, you have the straight world who embraces that, embraces older men, you know, caring for the young girls, and they're called counts. They're called, you see what I'm saying, but when it happens to the gay society, we look at it as a bad thing. But in a straight society, it's like, oh, girl, you're 13 years old and you're dating a count. That's money. You're now welcome to the royal family. But it's all about perception, and people have to understand gay is gay, straight is straight, and bi is bi. You can't be gay looking for exception from a straight person. It's not going to happen because you live two different lives. You interact with two different people. And that's where the mix of the confusion comes into play. But I do feel for the, you know, kids who have been molested and haven't found that gay person who is going to be accepting to them and understand the story and actually nurture them and understand them, because I feel like the gay community just need to preach more so like, look, your parents are straight. They're not going to understand you. It's not a perfect world, baby. But at the same time, there are people out there who have been in the same situation as you, but you know what I'm saying, you need to stop letting your gayness, as far as I'm sadder than any other gay and come into play when you're meeting other gay people, because then you won't have no one to help you. But those are just my, you know, a little bit of my thoughts and things about the whole situation. It's a great topic, though.
Thank you so much, sweetie.
I got a question for you, Jasmine.
Okay.
Hold on a second, y'all. I have one more thing, and then y'all can ask the questions. Let's not get this twisted, though, because one thing that does happen as well is you have these young children, because I can say another story. You have these young children that do come to the ballroom scene at the age of 12 and 13, and yes, there are kids that come to the ballroom scene at the age of 12 and 13, and you have these butch queens that want to take them under their wings. But, baby, those same butch queens that are in their late 20s and 30s are sitting there doing things to those children as well. Throwing
yes,
their little legendary statuses out there, throwing the little power that they have in the ballroom scene, getting them all dressed up for sex siren, and doing all these little things because these little young boys are cute and fresh and got little cute little bodies and, you know, clean-cut asses and stuff and don't know no better. And it's really sad. They sit here and do these to these children. And then the sad part about it is a lot of them are no longer here. They don't pass. they doing mm-hmm. this knowing that they sick as hell,
yep.
going like, on their last motherfucking breath, sitting here, and these young kids don't know no better, 13, 14, 15, 16-year-olds don't know no better. All they know is this person is fab because, oh, yeah, we went out, and, oh, my God, he walked in the building, and everybody knew him, and they called his name on the mic, and the whole audience went up, so he's fab. Everybody loves him, so I got to do exactly what he says. He wants me to call him daddy, and he takes me in the back, and he jerks me off so I can get ready for my category. And, like, the stories that, like Vonna said, as a female figure, the stories that we hear from some of these young butch queens, it's really fucking sad. And it's just a mess. Hold on a second. Go ahead, Shamika, in the order. Shamika, what did you have to say?
I just wanted to beg to differ a little with the caller when he made it as if straights and gays, well, straights could never understand anything about the aspects of the life of a gay person, and I beg to differ on that. Maybe not everything, but I know it's more than a few things you can relate to with a gay person. I don't think it's that strange that you won't relate at all to a gay person. Like, you're not an alien if you're gay. Sorry. And another thing, like, when it came to family secrets, like, a lot of older people, especially women, believe in, like, family secrets and certain things shouldn't be shared or shouldn't be said after so long. Like, as far as my mother's side of the family, a lot of the men died off, so it's nothing but women. And my great-grandmother, who just passed in March of this year, like, years ago, I wasn't alive, but in the 70s, they helped, like, all the women in my family helped one of my cousins escape jail. From home, yes, and got him back home and sent him off somewhere else, and he's been there forever. He's never went back to jail. So, I mean, it's a lot of things with family secrets that they don't want said and who did this to what, but, yeah, that's a long lot of ancestry problems.
Go ahead, Jake. And somebody, I hear a lot of feedback on somebody's phone. Please, if you're doing something, please mute your phone so we don't hear all that feedback. Please, go ahead, Dick.
I have two things. One thing is that is the molestation in the home any better than molestation in the ballroom scene? I mean, if half the people knew what was going to happen to them in the ballroom scene, would they have chosen to stay at home and deal with what they were going through at home? I mean, because at the end of the day or whatever, most of the molestation that happens at home ends up in some kind of mental trauma at the end of the day. But more than likely, you're not subject to catching HIV and other STDs as so you are doing in the ballroom scene. The second part that I wanted to say was when it comes to I don't understand something about parents. And this goes for a lot of parents. A lot of parents go around, and I can remember, you know, going to some of my cousin's house, my aunts, you know, they have the neighborhood sissy over with long nails or whatever, and he's just the best friend ever, you know. And he come over, and they sit down, and they cackle and everything else. But the second they find out their son is gay, it's a problem. But they're all right with the person that, you know, they're already having a friend with it, but they can't
Hello?
Take their own child being it. I don't understand that.
Say
well,
that
Jeff,
again. I didn't hear you. I was reading them. Hold on, J-Rock. What did you say, Dick?
I had
a question?
I just said I don't understand. The second part was that I didn't understand the fact of that a lot of these parents have, like, the neighborhood sissy come over, and they can drink coffee, smoke weed, and sit down and talk
mm-hmm.
or whatever, and everything is fine. But when it comes to their own child, it's a problem. I never understood that.
Because I think a lot of the neighborhood sissies turn out to be a key to them. They, you know, they don't really look at them as, I don't know. I see what you're saying about that too though. But yeah.
Well, Jasmine, like I just wanted to address the caller. Like when the caller said, you know, he's saying that, you know, straight people will not understand gay people and blah blah blah. I don't agree with that for the simple fact. My whole thing with bringing this topic up was you as a parent may be the deciding factor whether your child be a crackhead strung out on drugs or a doctor by shunning them away when they, not the person that's trying to force themselves on you or force their lifestyle, but that child that you just found out.
That's just like me. I didn't want nobody to know about me or nothing like that, but when my family found out, I was devastated because everybody turned their back on me, and that's all I lived for was my family. I am second out of 8 children. So my thing is when the family turned their back on you and you're like, I didn't want you to find out. You know what I'm saying? But now that you did find out, then they come back to you and say, you know what? I was thinking about it. I had 2 gay best friends back in the 60s and the 70s. And you're like, well, why are you treating me like this if you had 2 best friends that was gay? And, you know, they were some of the best people. And so, and I had to think about them. And that made me really, and, like, now my family respects me to the utmost of the simple fact they, it's like at that moment, nobody, straight people don't want that lifestyle for their children. But my thing is when you shun them away. Now, what if I would have went out and did something stupid because all I lived for all my life was my family. Then when my family turned their back, I'm going to tell y'all like this. I had to go to the psychiatrist and everything in New Orleans. Like everything because I didn't know what to do. If I don't live for my family, who do I live for? And I had to, it took my lover to tell me, you have to live for yourself. You've been living your whole life for your family. You have lived, breathed, everything. You have went hungry to make sure money get back for your brothers and your sisters and your family. And now that your family has turned their back on you, you don't know what to live for. And you should be ashamed of yourself to be like, and he gave it to me straight. You know, he was crying about it. He was like, you have to live for
you. Let me ask you a question. You said you went to a psychiatrist. I was going to bring that up. Did the psychiatrist help you?
No, and let me tell you why the psychiatrist did not help me. Let me tell you why the psychiatrist did not help me, because, first of all, it's hard to, I know that the, at that time it was don't ask, don't tell. Although this was a private psychiatrist that the Navy sent me to, I still had that stigma. If I let this man know too much, he could take it back to the Navy, and then I'll get kicked out, and I don't want to get kicked out. But not only that, I'm looking at this man, and I'm like, well, you're not gay. So I don't know if you're going to understand anything that I'm telling you. So I'm telling him some things, and all he could tell me is, and now he did tell me something that I'll never forget. He said, never let any man or woman dictate how you act, how you feel, and take away your joy. You know, so I was like, wow, that was deep to me because he was like, they have power over you now. When you let somebody make you so upset and to where you don't know whether you should live or die, they have power over you. And the only way to get that power back is to start living for yourself.
That's something,
A word of advice for any parent that's out there that I go through consistently with my kids or whatever, if you happen to have kids or whatever and they're at a very, very young age or whatever, be very aware of people who may come over, their classmates, cousins, or friends or in the neighborhood that may come and spend the night. You don't know what that child is going through at home, and they tend to mimic what they're going through at home with your child or whatever. So when my son has company spend the night, I leave the door open. Then I have the door closed. I pop in and out every half an hour, 20 minutes, randomly sneak, you know, just to see what's going on. Because you don't know if that child is being molested at home, and then he may be bringing that shit into your house, doing that to your son or daughter, and that may, you know, it starts to carry a cycle. You have to be aware of these things.
That's called parenting. You're being a parent.
To kind of piggyback on what everybody else was saying, of course, with the caller, I didn't agree with everything, but my question is, what do you do when, as you say, the straight world don't accept you? What do you do when you turn to the gay world and they don't accept you either?
And they slay you.
Oh, no, I'm not done. Because you're a little bit bigger or you're a little bit blacker or you're not what they see. What the fuck do you do then when all you have is yourself? What do you do then when you have nothing to do but sit in the house or sit around and be depressed because nobody can hear you, nobody can help you, and nobody can do anything for you? Talking to a psychiatrist don't work. Talking to family don't work. Talking to friends don't work. Because what they do, they brush it under the rug. They tell you to deal with it on your own. They tell you to grow up and be a fucking man. What does being a man have to do with needing help? And I think a lot of people, a lot of people knock their kids down and knock other kids down because they think just because they boys, they need to grow up and be men. Or just because they little girls, they need to grow up and be little women. And the shit need to be forgot about. This shit is sickening. It is sickening. I know what I went through. My mom was on drugs. My family looked down on me because I was one of the first openly gay people, and the other gay person in my fucking family was crazy. Nobody really fucked with him. Like, I can't deal with this conversation. Like, it's really hurting me. I've been sitting here crying this whole time. It's sickening.
You know, when it comes to the gay scene,
Calvin, hold on, Dick, stop cutting people off. What happens on the show on Wednesday nights is we take turns. Calvin, listen, if it's getting a little emotional for you, just take a minute, because I know it's a very deep topic. You're not the only one that's crying. There's a lot of people crying right now because I'm getting the messages. So just take your time a little bit. It's very deep. Jason, you're on the air. Hi, Jason. Jason, is that you, Jason? 410-462, I'm sorry. Okay, I don't know who that is then. I think, I don't know, child. My bad. Jason, is that, I get your numbers confused. Jason, you're on the air.
Good evening, everyone.
Is that your number as well?
No, that's not my number. My number is a 244 number.
So what were you doing, just listening?
Yeah, I just got on. I just woke up and wanted to get myself together. You didn't get my message, my text?
No, I didn't get your text.
Oh, okay. Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Okay, before you come on, good evening, everyone, because you sound like you're coming on with an attitude, and it's a very emotional
no,
thing.
No, I'm not
Bring
coming on with an attitude.
To the
That's
show
why
right
I'm saying
now.
Good evening, everyone, because I wanted to, my first thing is I wanted to address Calvin, because I was not going to press one because I was going to share this with you after the show or one day this week because I'm still trying to process it myself. But I guess I'll just go into it, and I'm just going to have to leave names out of it. Being a gay man and having actual gay nephews, I made a rule and I made a promise to myself that because of the things that I saw in this lifestyle, that if I could prevent them from happening to my nephews or my nieces, I would. So I made a habit of bringing, which probably was a mistake, of bringing certain people that I thought were friends to me, that I considered family, around my family, so that when I was not around and I couldn't be the eyes and the ears and they saw my nieces or my nephews out, they could be the eyes and the ears, and if they saw something that was not right or appropriate, they could put a stop to it. Well, the other night, I and one of my nephews, who were estranged for a while, we're now closer, we had a conversation. And in the process of the conversation, information was revealed to me that someone that I thought was really close to me not only had sex, attempted to have sex with that nephew, but had sex with another nephew and videotaped it.
Oh, my
goodness. Exactly. And I am in a crossroads right now because one side of me is saying that my nephew was old enough to know what he was doing, and that's something he has to deal with. But then the other side of me is saying, you really want to hurt this person.
Let me ask you a quick question. How old is your nephew?
Is that Vanna?
It is.
Okay, hey, how are you?
Hey.
My nephew is now, my oldest nephew is 25. The youngest, his brother, is about 21. But I don't know at what age this happened.
Okay, you don't know what age the video and all that stuff happened.
Exactly.
I'm about to say, because now if it's something recent, like 20, but to me, 20, anything over 21, we kind of, even though we make a lot of stupid mistakes still at 21, we kind of know what we're doing, and we
right.
do, you know, have
I
to
mean,
bump our head.
And that's
but
where
but,
I'm
but
at
anything
with it.
Under
with
that,
when...
it's kind of late to me. No shade.
Jason,
mm-hmm.
Can I say something? I kind of side with you on the side
where you want to hurt this person, because I feel like you gave them a job. Like, you know, when I'm not around, protect my nephew. You see what I'm saying? Regardless to if your nephew was either naive or he knew what he was doing, I feel like I would fault my friend, because I told my friend, hey, when I'm not around, look out for him. Make sure he, you know, you gave him a job, a duty to do, and I feel like he totally took advantage of that.
Yeah, he did take advantage of it, but we, as sad as it is to say, and it all, I always seem to be the grand reaper of bad news sometimes, but we know that 90% of this lifestyle of these people are opportunists, shadists, and people who just out to look for the out for themselves and fuck everybody else around them. So we do know that sometimes in giving jobs to certain people that we even feel that we can trust. We all have been down a road of where you feel like you can trust this is my girlfriend, this is my sister, my brother, whatever, and they turn you. Not saying that everyone is the same, but we know that majority of the people that we're around every day in this scene are like that. Mm-hmm. And it's being a better protector of our people for ourselves, kind of sometimes. It's kind of like I have a 16-year-old gay child now, and he has the hardest head in the world. Like, you know, he believes that he is the answer to, you know, why the cage bird sings. And so, and I know that I cannot mother hen him to death. So now he's one of them kind of kids I know going to have to bump his head 17 times and bust it open before he figure out what's going on. You know what I'm saying? I just hope it's not a STD or anything like that brings him back to reality. But some people just have to go through the school of hard knocks before they come out, you know, clean, as sad as it is to say.
Right.
Enrique, you're on the air.
Hey, everybody. Hey, ladies and gentlemen. How are you?
Hey.
Hey, Ronnie. Hey, Justin. Jason. Hey, everybody. I'm sorry that I didn't say hi at first. I thought I was off mute, but I usually have my phone on mute. Sorry about that. Just just a couple of things. Like, I had to write things down as you guys, like, go through stuff so fast. As far as the nephews and Jason, like, address yours first, I also have a couple of gay nephews and a gay niece, and I don't really ask anybody to keep an eye on them. You know, I try to do that myself, because even, you know, if you have friends that get high or get drunk, or let's not even say your friends can't be at fault, because I think, Jason, I told you before, I have a gay nephew that is, how can I nicely put it, that terrible. You know, he found out he had a gay uncle. He came to my house thinking that it was dick day. Who's coming over? Why are you so excited about who my friend's coming over? Like, calm down. I just never thought. Come to find out, he was trying to have everybody. I said, dude, you can't come over to my house to try to have everybody, and much less, you're fucking 13. You cannot be doing that, because there are going to be some friends that, luckily, I have the type of friends that'll come back and tell me. I can be upstairs in my room. They'd be downstairs. I get a text like, come get your nephew. And I'm like, you got to go. You know what I'm saying? Like, whatever you do, I want to know about it so I can, like, give you rubbers, give you talks, or tell you, like, in the community, like, that person, yes, that person, I heard some stories about. Because you never want a child tell a child what they can't do. Because,
mm-hmm.
you know, as we all have children, if you tell me I can't do something, I'm going to turn around and do it and see why I can't do it.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? So you can't never say something, but you can't. You're like, you want to be careful. Like, you might want to be careful, or what I'm saying, you might want to do your research on that one. That was my way of saying it. Well, you might want to do your research on that one. You know what I'm saying? I mean, as far as the community not accepting the person who's about to cry, I mean, I think that's it could be a curse, and one of the gifts that we have in being in this community, that you can make your own families. You can create your own family. You can create your own scene. You can create your own people you're around. So, you know, you do have, I mean, every society, people are not going to accept you, be it light, dark, fat, skinny, or whatever the case, but you can kind of deal with people or mesh with people that accept you for you, and not you having to conform to anybody else's thing. You know what I'm saying? I think that as young people, or just people in general, we have this habit of trying to meet people's expectations, even though it's nearly impossible, or where people may seem as though you met their expectation, but yet they turn around and talk about you. That's not the type of friends you want. You want people that you kind of have something in common with, or some people who look past the physical. You know what I'm saying? And that's always important. You know, people like this lifestyle is very materialistic and very like you kind of have to find genuine people. And I can say honestly, like in his, even in ballroom or just my gay life period, I've met some genuine people. You know what I'm saying? Like, I have some friends, like, God forbid, that are not the cutest people. You know what I'm saying? But they're really sincere people, and they're very close to me because they're sincere. You know what I'm saying? So it doesn't matter if you how dark you are, because I never understood this real dark thing or this real life thing, because for some reason, prevalently, recently, that's starting to be, like, a hot topic again. So I don't know if, like, the newer generation is going through that again or something. Maybe somebody can explain that to me, because I know I've seen it in the official ballroom. I've been seeing it in my other little groups that I've been in, this whole light skin versus dark skin thing. And one more thing, the difference between molestation to your family and a house parent is when you're being molested by your family, man, to me that's very mentally draining. You know what I'm saying? People said there's no difference. There's a big difference. This is your father doing this. This is your uncle doing this. This is your brother doing it. In some cases, this is your mother doing it. That is something very different. These are people that brought you in this world. These people that saw or taught you how to walk, how to talk, et cetera. For them to put that type of abuse in is a whole lot different than some random Joe in the house of ex-Pearl or whatever the case that claims to be your daddy, somebody you look forward to be your daddy. That's something totally different. It's not the same thing. And I just hope that nobody out there would think that it is the same, because it's not the same. One is more mentally damaging.
It's not necessarily that I believe, because I think I'm one of the persons to say that I don't believe it's the exact same thing, but I have some people, you do have that same kind of thing in certain instances. Like, I'm going to use me for example. I have a gay child who I don't consider to be my gay child, because I've had him since he was like 11, 12. But, you know, I am his mother. So for me to do that to him would be just as damaging, if not more so, than the mother that birthed him, because he's 22 now, and he hasn't spoke to her since I was around him at 11 and 12. You know what I'm saying? So to me, I am his mother. You know what I'm saying? So if I was to do that to him, versus it probably would be harder for me to do it with him than it would be for his mother. So in some instances, it is kind of the same, but then I definitely agree with you that it is extremely damaging to do that coming from your family. I definitely agree to that point.
Right. I mean, okay, one more thing and I'm done. The heavily monitoring son, because, you know, I have, everybody knows I have Justin, who I consider my son, but he's actually my godson that I raised when, like, he was, like, a baby. So my whole thing, like, you know, when you have other kids in the house or whatever, no matter who's in your house or who's outside your house, as long as you have a great relationship with your child and let your child know that it's okay to tell me anything with no repercussions at all, you know what I'm saying, then I can close the door when he's in to somebody, because he knows what's right and he knows what's wrong, because it's happened before. You know what I'm saying? He'll come to me was like, well, I don't want such and such to stay over. He'll just come to me while the people are there. Like, I don't like the games they're playing. Well, thanks for telling me. You know, I'm going to call your dad. I'm going to call your parents. Or we're going to change this game up. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's just a relationship. Like, if they trust you, then you have to trust them. You know what I'm saying? Because if you're constantly monitoring, that means it kind of gives off that you don't trust them. So it kind of pushes them into the opposite direction. You know what I'm saying? That's just how I perceive things. But I'm sorry if I interrupted.
Thank you, Enrique.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I don't think that a lot of people are understanding that this is sick. It's not something – this is just for me. Man, maybe some people do. But I just can't fathom the idea of looking at a 6-year-old or a 12-year-old boy or a 12-year-old girl or – anything and just seeing myself physically attracted. This is a mental illness. This is, I mean, it's sick.
Yeah, it is definitely sick. And a lot of things, but you know, you can classify a lot of things with mental illness. It's definitely sick, though. It's no explanation behind it. It's no verbiage that you can put with it. It's definitely sick. I don't think anybody is negating the fact that it's sick. It's just that some people don't believe it's sick, just like some people don't believe being addicted to drugs is a mental thing. The same way that, you know, it's a lot of things, you know, but it's getting to the heart of the problem and trying to correct the illness versus beating down the illness is basically my point of that. We can say that it's sick, and we know that it's sick, and we know that it's wrong, but for some people, it's all they know. For some people, they don't understand the difference between right and wrong. You have to understand that in different mental cases, it's different answers.
How do you come back from this? How do you turn your life around and take control of your life and continue to move forward, as opposed to letting this be a crutch on you for the rest of your life?
Okay, I can tell you how I did it. I did not use it as a crutch. I used it to help the people that are around me. People, when my kids come and they tell me their stories, and or not even my kids, when people tell me them stories themselves, I help them by telling them my story and letting them know that you can push forward. You know what I'm saying? It's a lot of things in life that has hindered us as people, definitely black people. You know, that's like saying, well, how did we come back from slavery to do this? Or how did you come back from being an abused woman to now owning a company? It's how you push through. It's your mental stability. It's to say that this, I'm not going to let this define. And I just told my husband, who he has been through this himself. So this is, I just told him this today. That's why it's so weird we're talking about this. You can't let your past define your future. Period. Mm-hmm. You know, it can hurt. It can be painful. It can be something that's gouging at you. But you take it and you make it better for you. You take it and you educate others so that maybe you might stop one person from going through what you've been through. That's how you walk through it. You can't walk through it by holding on to it. You can't walk through it by crying and holding on to something. And if you are religious, I'll give you the same analogy my mama gave me when I told her about it. She said, and we had a long talk about it, she said, one thing about if you give something to God, it's like handing him a cell phone. You can't say, hold this, and then snatch it back from his hand. Take care of this, and then snatch it back from him. That means you're still holding on to it. If you want to let it go, you have to let it completely go. You have to, sometimes, and as hard as it is what I'm about to say, it's the truth. In order to walk through it and to get through the pain and walk through it, you have to forgive. Because as long as I didn't forget it, but I forgive you, because I will not allow you to continue to run my life.
Mm-hmm.
You guys accepting this stuff with the community so soon, like this, like the situation you just mentioned, by us grasping these kids and bringing them in and saying, okay, your parents don't love you at home or whatever, come with us. Let me show you another way to do this. We got the ballroom scene. We got the lesbian gay community center or whatever the case it is.
Yes.
What if we said, no, you're too young? Do you think they will go in a whole other direction?
I know what I would have done. One thing about it, when you say no makes you want it. No makes you seek out and go and get it. No makes me not make you my mother and go let this girl be my mother because she let me do it. It's showing you the right way to do it. It's showing you that if this is what you want, I'm going to give you the tools that you need to be able to stand in the rain. Because I might can't keep you out of the rain because you're going to run out there anyway. But let me give you this umbrella because now you're protected.
You know, I have to say, I'm sorry, I'm not going to cry, I promise, but I have to say, for me, personally, to get through everything that I've been through, I blamed people, I blamed God, I blamed everybody for years. Yes, I'm not even going to lie to you. I was 23 years old. I was sitting on my hospital bed in the hospital, as y'all all know, with my weight issue and everything, when I decided that I have to move forward for me.
Mm-hmm.
I have to move forward for myself. So as of now, as y'all know, I've lost so much weight, and as of now also, I'm going to school for psychology for this exact reason. There's so many kids and people that need to talk to someone who has went through this issue. And like, I can't remember your name, I think, I'm sorry. Like you said,
go ahead.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Like you said, you can't hold it as a crutch, because what happens is it fucks up your entire life. Because even though I had no one to talk to and I felt that there was no way that I was going to get forward, there was a way. And I'm getting through it slowly. My tears were not just from hurt. It was from happiness. The fact that I forgave my cousin for doing what he did to me. I forgave myself for doing what I did to me after all these years. No longer shall I be depressed. It's like a train. If you put a train on a track and you don't move it for years, it's going to get rusted, and when you try to move it, it's going to get stuck. And that's what happens to us. We put ourselves in the mud, and we get stuck because we can't move forward. All we can do is look back at what we already been through. We look at the tracks in the mud. What we need to do is focus on how the fuck we're going to get out the mud and continue to make new tracks to make go on with our life.
Yes, I definitely agree.
J-Rock, did you have anything else you wanted to say about this topic?
No, I pretty much knew that that's where it was going to go. That's why I asked the question, because it was kind of, like I said, when I heard that, it kind of disturbed me. And I'm just going to take it here to all you late, tired faggots that take these kids and turn them out. I just hope you freaking get buried under the jail, because I think that is so, so disgusting to sit up and manipulate children to and have them and everything and turn them out, put them on drugs, all this kind of stuff, then throw them away and then talk about them and say, well, girl, you're late, or girl, you know, we all had you. Child, it's just, it's a mess. But I heard it, and when I heard it from the same people, and what pisses me off is when you think that these are good people to the kids start telling on them. So it's kind of like it makes you not want to, it makes you think twice of who you talk to, as in look at as a friend, or look at as, okay, you're a nice person. Oh, you're not a nice person, bitch. I don't trust nobody, especially these old queens. Quit killing these kids.
It's not even necessarily the old queens, because it's just people mentality. You know, you can be young and be an abuser. You can be an old queen and be an abuser. You know, it's just the mentality of what you choose to do to people. But one thing about this thing we call karma, you know, it comes back to get you. You're not, those same people are bitter, they're hurting, and they want other people to hurt around them. And that's usually what depressed or bitter or hurt people do. They tear other people down because they believe that it makes them feel better.
And
that's the sad thing. I think a lot of people who you say karma comes back around, I think it's plenty of people out here who rape and do this stuff to kids or whatever the case is, and they fuck around and hit the lottery or get a great job, and they never see, or we don't even see, you know, one time they're doing bad. Every day is a smile on their face.
And
you have to remember God and luck are two different things.
Exactly. A lot of people, and I will honestly say this because I've been through this too, a lot of people don't even know what they're doing is wrong. A lot of people don't even know what's getting done to them is wrong. And to anybody out there that's even the one that's doing it, know that there is help. This is not, no, it's not healthy at all, and I'm not going to sit here and call you sick and disgusting and vile because it's been said. But you can get through this. You know, even after I grew out the fact that, you know, I was molested, there was a time when I was like, I felt like a predator. I felt like I was looking at people that I shouldn't have been looking at. But quickly, I had to snap myself out of that because I remember what I went through. I don't want nobody else feeling that.
Does everybody on the phone feel like, I don't know if everybody had to go through molestation, but the people on the phone who did go through molestation, do you feel like that if that hadn't happened to you at that point in time of your life, you would not be this way? You wouldn't indulge in these things.
I was gay before I was molested.
Exactly. A lot of people know what they're going to be when they're younger. I knew.
Yeah, I was gay. I was a woman.
Before the
molestation. I was a woman when I was in my crib, honey. My mother told me I had an attitude when I was in the crib. I used to just lay there and I wouldn't cry. She thought I would be dead. I was just quiet. I didn't want to be bothered with nobody. I didn't want nobody looking at me. Child, I was a diva when I was in Pampers.
You know, I have something to say real quick, because I just got an inbox. One of my house members said thank you because he's listening.
What happened?
I don't know.
Where did she go? Lana, we lost you.
Well, until we get her back, for the parents, I just want the parents to know it's not about really trying to understand the lifestyle. It's not about, you know, you're accepting the lifestyle. It's about, do you care for your child's life or what road it may turn, what road they may take. Now, if they do it on their own, I can understand it, but don't be the one to shun your child. Do you actually care what type of life your child is going to live? If you do love the seed that you brought in this world, then I'm not telling you to accept it. I'm telling you to love your child and make sure that you still let them know that they can be whatever they want to be in life, and it's their choice to be what they want to be, but don't shun them away. That was my whole
point. Lonnie, you're back.
My phone is doing absolute shows. I don't know if this show is hanging up on me or it's my phone.
But I just wanted to tell my house brothers, no thank you is needed. We're always here for you to listen to and to try to help you through all your mess, because that's all it is. It's just a crutch that sometimes people want to hold on to, definitely in ballroom and in gay society. You know, if we push through something, we'll all be better later.
I just got two different inboxes. The first one is from Just Incredible. It's saying thank you. He really needed the show in a way. And then the second one is from Mr. Man, and he wants us to bring up the fact that can we talk about the young boys who are seducing grown men into having sex with them? Nobody talks about that.
And I agree with you on that, too. There are, you know, that's one thing about these young kids as well, you know, because they don't know no better. And they sit here, and they will definitely sit here and seduce these. They will play that card. They will go out there, and they'll see that one old butch queen, honey, you know, they'll be out there 14 and 15 years old, and they got some, you know, 23, 24-year-old butch queen that comes along and, oh, you're cute, I want to do this and that with you, I'll give you some money, buy you some shoes, so forth and so on. So they see, oh, really, I can do this and I could get something out of it, and then they'll go to the next one and they'll go to the next one, and then they start playing that role. Oh, they're not no fools either.
Let me ask you this question. And maybe I'm confused, and maybe I'm just a queen who just can't, bitch, maybe I'm one of them old queens who's naive to certain things. But I was a butch queen, you know, before my womanhood, a lot longer than my womanhood. And I just cannot fathom a 14-year-old seducing me. You are a child, Miss Thing.
Exactly.
You don't tip your ass down the street, girl,
yes,
and out my
exactly.
motherfucking face.
I get them all the time in my inbox or whatever, and they be, I mean, some of the pictures they have up be outrageous, wild, and everything. And I'd be like, how old are you? And they'd be 15, 16 or whatever. I go right to their page. Click the little button and block it.
Yeah, see, I mean, I just can't can't be an adult and being seduced. Like, if you are being seduced as an adult by a child whose mind is supposed to be half of yours, then you it's not being seduced anymore. It's something that you wanted to do. Because no 14 and 15-year-old going to be like, hey, what's up? I'm going to give you this ass. I'm going to give you this dick and all this. I'm like, oh, girl, he's seducing me, girl. Oh, he make me feel good. You're a child. Get out of here.
I mean, the same friend that the go back to my situation, that's why I'm angry, because the same friend that I was talking about, I've been in their company, and I've seen the type of things that they do, and I would see the empty promises that they would make, and it might have been on both parties' part that the teenage boy that they was talking to, I mean, a teenage boy at 16 or 17, oh, yeah, you going to buy me this? You going to take me shopping? You getting me drunk? You getting me high? I can see that. So that's why I'm at a crossroads. And how do I handle this? Do I just leave it alone, or do I do what I do? Because I know that I've seen this person. I've seen this person riding around high schools. I've seen this person scoping out teenage boys on Adam for Adam or on Party Lines or et cetera. I've seen them in action. And I'm like, and my thing is, because I was molested, and we talked about that last season, so I don't have to go into all that, because I was molested, I come from a standpoint that I'm going to be a protector of children, so that I know that when I see a 16 or 17-year-old boy, he might look 21, but something in his face or something in his body or his mannerism is going to give away that he's a fucking child.
His conversation, the way he thinks. Like, come on now, unless you think like a child, you cannot communicate with a child on that level to where y'all are talking about having sex and having a good time. Like, oh,
and see, and my mother always say, what the hell does this 18-year-old or 16-year-old and such and such grown-up have in common? And it was like, and I would have to tell my mother, it's because that adult has not fucking grown up, and mentally they the same age as that fucking child, so they don't think what they're doing is wrong.
Well,
I have seen a grown man come out of this. They were like about 2 or 3 15-year-olds that were trying out for something they were having or whatever the case it is. And they got there a little bit early, whatever. So I'm sitting on the computer, and I'm doing a little bit of work on the computer or whatever. And the person whose house this was hosting this event or whatever, and he hadn't got dressed yet or whatever. Now, the boys in here are 15, 16, and I think one was 2 or 16, one was 15. He came out of the bathroom. This is a 30-something-year-old man in his towel, dick swinging everything. I mean, it's just like, I don't know, like, what people be thinking. Like, I don't know.
Am I the only person?
I want to know who's washing dishes.
You know what? I am so sorry. I'm going to put my phone on me. I'm taking my dishes out the dishwasher because they've been there all day.
Let me ask this question. Am I the only person that gets offended? I mean, because I even get offended when I see, like, my nieces or my nephews, little nieces and nephews sitting on grown men laps. Even if it's their father, it's just something about me that just cringes at the idea of a child sitting on some grown man's lap.
I have to agree. There is my best friend, actually, her niece, they don't put underwear on her at night because I guess the cloth feeling against her makes her want to go to the restroom. And it's hard to – I don't want to put all her business out there, but her sister's boyfriend, it's not confirmed, but has been known to touch his kids back in, you know, a few years ago. And, like, it's weird because he caught her sister at, like, a breaking point at, like, an emotional time. So she thinks she's all in love with him. And my best friend, and we found some stuff on his computer the other day that was brother molesting sister, with father. Like, I mean, like, porno shit. And him talking to people talking about, oh, go have sex with your brother and father and get back to me later. I want to come all over you and shit like that. So me and my best friend are literally, as we talk, sitting here trying to plan a way to tell her sister without making it seem like we're attacking Sam. Because, I said a name. We don't like him anyway. We don't like him. And we don't want her to think that we're just trying to get him out of her life.
But at this point, it's not even about what she thinks or whatever. It's about the well-being of the children. And if you talk to her and if she doesn't take the right procedure, the right precautions of it, whatever, then you go to the authorities. Because, I mean, that's just like an accident waiting to happen.
Exactly. We're in the process of, like I said, setting him up. You know, I found out his little screen name, his little profile that he go to and everything. You know, I'm about to do some catfish and tease. And we're going to set him up that way we can have exculpatory evidence that it's true. So, yeah.
Okay, I want to talk about when y'all said about the girl of age sitting on her dad's lap. I don't do stuff like that, but as far as me, I know I'm 20, making 21, but me and all my siblings, I still kiss my dad on the mouth. Like, but we don't say anything wrong with it. It's not a lovey-dovey, like, oh, you know, dad. It's just like, you know how you perch your lips up when you're small and you're not like that. I still do it, and I'm an adult. And he never, like, when I wear something too tight, he'll be like, don't wear that. If I have a shirt with cleavage, he'll try to zip it up or something like that. I don't find it as anything sexual. I don't know if anybody will find it weird, but I don't find it weird.
Now, Shamika, I don't have a problem with, because I have a problem, like, in my family, when we got to a certain age, the affection stopped. So with my nieces and nephews, no matter how old they are, I hug them because we grew up, my sisters and I, my brothers and I, we grew up that when you got to a certain age, we didn't hear I love you all the time. So it was like, so when I started going out and dudes was like, oh, you're cute, you're this, you're that, I didn't need those admirations because I got them at home. So, and that's one of the things that these kids realize, when you're not told you're special, you're loved, you're wanted at home, you're going to go out and you're going to look for that because because that's going to be a void that's going to be in you for a long time. That's just like somebody that goes out and constantly have meaningless, emptyless sex every night is because they're trying to fill a void that's in them, and they don't know why they have that void.
Uh-huh. Right. And another thing I wanted to chime in on was one of the callers that said something about
girls or straight women that when they're young messing with older guys. Well, I can actually talk about that because I was one of those cases, and I'm not ashamed to say it. But it started off when I was 16. I started talking to a guy who was 26. We didn't have sex till I was of age, and it was only because I wanted to. And, of course, he did things for me because he really liked me. He never, even if I text him something after, he'll be like, don't text me that. You know, like he didn't like it. I mean, even though we did have sex once I was of age and I was so disappointed, but anyways, I don't, I mean, I can be honest, I was, like, after I got, from being used to getting money from him and stuff like that, I found that I am more attracted to, like, the guy I'm with now. He's 34, so, and I'm 20. So my parents don't like him, hate him, whatever. I mean, I find that I'm more attracted to them anyway, but, yeah, I was one of those girls. I did seekingarrangement.com, all type of shit. You wouldn't believe a 20-year-old did shit like this. I had a stream mate, so you bitches who probably will look for it, I have one, but you probably won't be able to find it. But in case you find it, I'll spill my own tea. But, I mean, it's been a lot of things. I mean, you do get into their life where you like, fuck it, I just give me a sugar daddy, I don't have to have sex with them. Like, I have people, I used to go on Tiny Chat and, like, just talk to guys, and they sending me money, sending me. People I don't ever have to see in my motherfucking life. People I don't ever have to give them my real number. I mean, you kind of get addicted to stuff like that when you start at a young age, like, you know, I guess the sugar daddy type relationship. But we can save that for another topic. Another day.
Sugar daddy.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to change this up a little bit. Basically, I just want to end this topic with, you know, going back to originally, because it seems like we turned this a lot into molestation and stuff. But I just want to take it back to J-Rock's original, you know, statement when it comes to parents. You know, don't be so quick to, you know, abandon your child or, you know, point the finger or blame your child. Maybe try to embrace them. Don't think that, you know, taking them to see a shrink is going to be the answer. And, you know, just kind of realize that they're reaching out for help. They just may be doing it the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as, you know, you kids go, you know, realize that, you know, even though, because that's one thing that has troubled me over the past couple of years is I have noticed that, you know, a lot of kids are coming out, but they don't have no one to come out to, and they're taking their own lives, and, you know, everybody's, you know, bullying them and attacking them, and nobody's listening to them, and, you know, little things like that. I realize that, you know, number one, you're not alone, and number two, there is someone out there for you. And, you know, I know you may be mad at the world and you're blaming everybody and you're blaming God and you're blaming this one, and you feel like if your parents turned your back on you, then, you know, nobody's there. But, you know, God is there. You know, find it within your heart. And the most important thing, like Vonna said, because that was also my escape and how I survived, is you have to learn to live for yourself. You can't live for nobody else. You have to learn to make yourself happy. And that's the only person that will ever make you happy. No man, no woman, no mother, no father, nobody can make you as happy as you can make yourself happy. Mm-hmm. And that's what you have to learn to do. That is your key to survival, by taking care of yourself. On that note, it is now going on 1:30. I'm going to switch this up to the topic that I originally had, but we're not going to have a lot of time to ponder on it, which I really don't even think we need to ponder on it that much. But I'm just going to bring it up anyway. There you go. I want to talk about gay social apps and what people really feel about them when it comes to these online dating hookups. You know, it can be on the computer, it could be an app on your phone, you know, any of that. Do you think, and I want to thank someone who inboxed me this morning in reference to this topic, because they heard me yelling at J-Rock yesterday saying, get off Jack. Do you think they are more destructive than productive when it comes to meeting someone? Do you think they contribute greatly to the spread of STDs and STIs? What do you guys really feel about these apps like Jacked, BGC, Adam for Adam, Grindr, Craigslist, all, you know, that's just to name a few, but what do you guys feel about this online social networking, dating, you know, and do you really call it dating? Is it just hookups, booty calls, a quick nut? What do you personally, what is your personal opinion on it? And please don't go say, well, I don't think it's too bad as long as you're protected, da-da-da-da-da, because 9 out of 10, we know we deal with a whole bunch of idiots. And that's not the case because, you know, da-da-da-da-da. But I'm going to start at the top. Calvin, what is your true opinion on these apps, and do you participate in them?
Well, I would say back when I was 16 to 23, I used to be on BGC, Jack, Moco Space, all
Ooh.
Of them. Yeah, a lot of them. I used to meet up with some guys, and I even had my catfish profile on there, like I said on the previous show. And like Shamika said, there were some guys I never had to meet. My catfish profile, my voice, you know, I gave them what they wanted. I got money. I got things. And the people that I did meet, I got sex. It was some weird-ass motherfuckers that like fetishes and shit. But at the end of the day, when I was younger, it was like, okay, I'm making money, so I don't care. Now, I'm not on none of them.
Is that because you're in a relationship?
No, because before I was in a relationship, I didn't get on any of them. I think with the big change that happened to me when I was in the hospital, a lot of changes happened. I just don't see them anymore. I don't see they're productive. I don't see that they're friendly, because that's where most of the bullying takes place, especially in chat rooms and BGC, or, and not even that, even some of the murders. You know, we used to go back to the Craigslist killer, you know, with people just going on there, putting their profile up, putting their number up. You know, you're giving these strangers your number, and nowadays with just a phone number, you can find a person's address. I mean, it is very destructive, especially to the LGBT community, because they feel that, oh, well, like you said, well, if I'm protected, it's fine. It's not just about protection. People are getting killed. People are getting slaughtered. People are getting murdered. I mean, like, why? Why would you want to do that? So, for me,
so
they're
to go
very
to
much
the, so to go to the original question, do you think that it is more destructive or productive when it comes to meeting someone?
I said destructive, and when it
and
contributes
do you
to
think
STDs,
it, yeah, do
when
you
it
think
contributes
it contributes?
STDs, I think it does a lot. It's not good. So yes, I really do think it does.
Okay, I just got a message from someone. It's addictive, and it's putting
yes.
drugs, raw sex, and STDs into the streets. Okay, J-Rock, what is someone who contribute? I mean, someone who gets on them, what is your opinion on it?
Yeah, I don't know if I get on them or not.
That's what you said yesterday, Hedy.
I just think they kind of addictive or whatever, because to tell you the truth, I didn't. The first thing that I found out about was A for A, BGC. I've had so many BGC profiles because I'll shut it down and say, well, this ain't nothing, or either, you know, it's causing problems. Or either Black Gay Chat actually started off as Black Gay Chat, black people chatting. Then mm-hmm. they started showing dick profiles, and you was able to put ass profiles, and it got kind of mm-hmm. explicit. So, and then after that, I got rid of it. Got it back, got rid of it, got it back.
Mm-hmm.
A for A, I've shut it down. I've shut down my A for A for, like, literally, I am not lying. I've shut down my A for A page, like, different profiles, different names, a good 20 times since 2004. But I have not had an A for A or a BGC since we all was on that phone with Kelly on the line, and we all had got one. But I had shut it down since then. I do have a Jack, and I think that a lot of these profiles, the only thing that scares me is the kids. because there'd be so many kids on the goddamn profiles and stuff like that. Like you said, like Vonna said, you can kind of tell it's their conversation to let you know that they kids, especially the ones that's like, hey, I got to go to school today and do this and do this and do this. They don't even talk like they're going to college. They act like they're going to really high school or they need some money or that. Bitch, I'm not your sugar daddy. And get the fuck off Jack. I tell them in a minute.
Okay, let me ask you. I'm going to ask you because we don't have that much time with this topic. I just want to ask you, why are you on it? Are you on it just for... You know, are you really on it to meet people? Are you looking for a relationship? Are you looking for a quick fix? Are you just looking for the entertainment to laugh and key or just, you know, just see what's out there and just be like, child, I ain't got time for this. What is it, really?
It's a gay hookup app called Jacked. I'm on there for booty. I'm not on there to meet.
So
I'm not
you're actually looking...
Yes.
For a good time.
That's what it says. It says gay app jacked. That is like, come on, gay app grinder. Why do people get on there and go to eHarmony? Go to eHarmony if you want to meet somebody and walk long walks in the park and walk down the beach and stuff. If you want to give up some booty, get on Jack. But I don't ever get it, though, because everybody lies.
Okay.
That's crazy.
So there you go. So, again, to the original question, do you feel it's destructive or productive when it's meeting someone?
No, I think it's a key because everybody on there is fucking liars. Oh, I just want a long-term relationship.
Okay, and do you feel that those apps, you know, also do you feel it greatly, you know, contributes to the spreading of STDs?
Nope, I do not. I think what contributes to the spreading of STDs is irresponsible adults that don't know how to use condoms. It ain't got nothing to do with the app.
Okay. Somebody's playing Bubblefish or whatever that shit is called. Dick, what is your opinion on it?
I don't see any difference in that in Facebook. The pictures are just as provocative on Facebook. It's all on how you carry yourself as a human being. If you choose to get on there and use it for a tool for sex or whatever, that's what you get. If you choose to get on there and represent yourself in the light as to where you could possibly meet someone long term, then that's probably what you get. Everybody has the option to design their profile in a certain light. What you put on your profile definitely will make people understand you a certain way. If I put on there big dick, long balls, nice nipples, that's what they don't want to see. If I put on there educated, college educated, or whatever the case may be, that's what they're not going to. The people who are looking for sex are not going to be bothered with that. So at the end of the day, you turn your own wheel.
Bitch, big dick, long balls,
So do you feel that it contributes or it's productive or destructive?
For me, it's productive. I make a coin. Rent got to be paid, so I don't know.
Besides the coin, because I don't want this to turn into that topic, but we're talking about meeting someone, you know, relating to someone. Do you feel it's destructive or productive?
You can meet someone on there that's productive. I myself have met someone off of one of those particular sites or whatever, and it was a very meaningful relationship. As fate would have it or whatever, I happened to move from that city, and that's why we left it at what it was, because we didn't want to do anything long distance. It's all in how you represent yourself at the end of the day.
Jason, I mean, and do you feel it contributes to the STDs greatly? Dick?
When it comes to STDs or whatever the case it is, it don't have to be that. It don't have to be these. I mean, for me or whatever, just seeing what I see or whatever, out here walking the streets, meeting trade, paying $5 and $6 to suck a dick is contributing to it. So I don't believe that.
But where are you meeting the trade? Okay. Yeah, child, I already see where this is going. I'm going to keep my mouth fucking shut, though. Jason? Y'all all sound foolish. Jason?
For me, Adam for Adam, because I got rid of my BZC because there's too many children on there. For me, Adam for Adam it's an outlet, just like Facebook. To me, if you choose to meet somebody, you choose to meet them, and if you're an adult, and I let them know that I'm an adult, sometimes adults, we decide that when we meet, we might get on there for the purpose of hooking up, and then we meet, I'm like, no, I changed my mind. I'm no longer in that mood. I've met some great people and have informed some great friendships. I don't go to bars, and I don't go to clubs. So Adam's an Adam to me when I get on there. It's just like me going out to the bar or club that night. Sometimes you go out to the bar, and you meet somebody, and you hook up, or sometimes you go to the bar, you have a conversation with somebody, and you make a great, great friend. So it's what you put into it. So if you go on there that you're looking for ass, then that's what you're on there looking for. If you go on there saying, well, you're just getting on there to talk to somebody somewhere different, because half the people that I talk to on Adam for Adam don't even live in my state. They live out of state, and we just talk on there, or we talk on Facebook. So each thing, do I think that it contributes to the STD rate? It contributes no more than if I met somebody on the street corner. It contributes no more if I met somebody at a bar. It contributes no more than if I met somebody while I was shopping for groceries.
Vonna, this is bullshit.
Vonna,
how many people though? How many people
okay,
have actually
lying?
Sit there and see it?
Can Vonna fucking talk?
Jasmine is not using your responses today.
I don't deal with butch queen stunts.
Well, I don't post that, so
okay,
I mean.
Okay, so you made me change my answer, Jasmine, because you're not going to read me behind this answer either. So let me say this. It is as destructive as you make it.
Thank you, Vonna.
It is. It could be. I did my educated girl thing for the first hour. Let me kick it real. Yes, the site is for dick sucking, fucking, and having a good time. We know
this.
But do I believe that it increases, like, you know, probably like STDs and stuff like that? No, because it's still about responsible thinking as an adult. So you can have, like me, I've had a lot of sex in my day. But I do know that I have a condom everywhere I go. Church, grandma, funeral, girl, it doesn't matter, girl. It's a condom and she purrs. But it is definitely, you know, there for fucking and sucking. I'm not going to meet my man on Jack or Adam for Adam or, you know, bullshit like that. You know, I only date butch queens. Everybody knows that. When me and my boyfriend got together, you know, the Adam for Adam, the Jack, all that shit has to go because it's temptation. You ain't going to lure my man away from me that easy. So, you know, it's definitely, you know, a hookup, a fuck site. It definitely can break up some happy homes. It definitely can lead some girls astray, but I don't think it's as destructive as you make it.
Okay, I agree. Thank you, Vonna. Thank you
but
so
that's
much.
That's the same thing I
did. You and Vonna. I need
to
ask questions for Vonna.
Next person. That's, no. Can y'all stop doing that? I swear to God, I'm going to start hanging up on y'all. For real. We only have, 17 minutes left into this topic. Shamika, what is your opinion on this?
As far as, I don't know much about Adam for Adam, but I am aware, I've been aware of BGC and stuff like that, and I'm sure it's just as poisonous as a lot of the other things that are sex-based, because I remember when I was young getting a Black Planet, and I sat there and was like, I don't have a webcam, and I watched this older man jack off, and I was like, what the fuck is he doing? Like, what is that? And he knew I wasn't of age, and he just was doing it, so I was like, okay, I guess. And as well as, I mean, many things. Like, once I started getting on Tiny Chat and stuff like that, I like, you know, getting on there, being on there. Like, Nika, what's up, whatever. And, yeah, I used to participate in a lot of the little games or whatever, lingerie night and shit like that, just for the fuck of it, because I knew what I was going there for. That's what I'm saying. I knew the reason I was getting on there, because I liked the attention. And
okay.
As far as
now, do you feel it's destructive or productive in meeting someone?
It is. It's a piece of both.
Okay. And do you feel that it great? Do you feel it helps to spread STDs?
Yeah, I'm not saying it's the main cause, but I can say it contributes to a big portion of
it. It does contribute. I agree with that as well. Yes,
okay.
Yes, and I'll give my reason when I speak, when I give my opinion on it. I'm going to go to two callers, and I'll give my reason on that as well. But let me go to the two callers real quick, and then I'm going to say what I have to say about these social apps. 404-496, I'm not an angel, so I definitely will say what I feel, though. 404-496, you're on the air.
Hello?
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 Hi.
Hello?
Hi. I think it's definitely destructive for the community. I think, I mean, it just makes it easier for these kids to get to dicks and ass and whatever. So
yep.
I really think the kids are trying to keep it cute and be all like, oh, no, no, no. Yeah, it's a bullshit. I mean,
thank
they're
you,
after showing the kids there's a dick right around the corner.
Yeah. Thank you, caller. Thank
You're
you,
welcome.
Caller. Thank you
Bye.
So much, and I will go to that. That is exactly my point. And Enrique, I'm gonna bring you on the air. Enrique, you're on the air, but before I go to you, Enrique, Vonna, you're back. But go ahead, Enrique.
I can't say that it's both. I mean, I can understand what people are saying, and does it contribute to social disease? I mean. Diseases, yeah, but so does going through the park, so does going to bookstores.
Mm-hmm.
So nowadays, going to malls, so it's just
mm-hmm.
an easier way. And some people might think this is stupid, but to me, I kind of think it's the safer way because you actually can meet. I mean, how it deals with your maturity, how you handle the app. You know what I'm saying?
I agree with you.
You know what I'm saying? So it's kind of a safer way because you're not in the parks, like I said. You're not in the bookstores. You're not in the streets and stuff like that. You can go through things. And there's a way that you can actually screenshot a picture, screenshot a number, and send it to your friend. Like, this is where I'm going. This is where I'm going to be at. This is the address. So to me, that's safer because if you're in the park, because, you know, I have some friends. I mean, Jason, we all have some friends that used to live in the park after the hours from 8 to 12. You know what I'm saying? And you can't screenshot that. I don't know where you're at. I can't say, oh, you're the third tree to the left behind the park, because I don't know that. But I know where you're at when I have a number and a picture and who this person's supposed to be. And a lot of times, you know, a lot of people do catfish, but in order to meet somebody, you have to, like, now I tell all my kids, if you're going to meet somebody, if you don't believe that picture, if they don't have a webcam or they can't do Tango or Skype or whatever the case is, don't worry about it. You know, because if you're about it, you will hop on the camera. It was like, okay, yeah, I just want some ass here. This is what I look like. Let's go.
Yeah.
Why are they doing that? You bring it back and snap a picture.
Yeah. I want you to see who I'm in the first place, baby. I got to see who you is. Well, you know, in my single days, I got to see who you is, honey, because I got to know if the pictures is photoshopped, baby. You got to get on she can.
Exactly. Filters or no filters. But it doesn't contribute to disease. Of course it does. But I don't think it contributes to disease no more than the other avenues.
No, yep. And thank you, Enrique. That's exactly my point. That's exactly. I'm going to put you back on hold, Enrique.
Okay.
But, yes, that's exactly, and I'm glad you brought that up. That's my point with this as well. My opinion on this is, do I feel that they're destructive or productive? I don't think they're productive at all as far as meeting someone. I guess as far as meeting someone, if you want to meet someone and go to the movies and have dinner and all the rest of that bullshit and spend your life together, no, that's bullshit. And that ain't happening. I don't think that that's happening at all because we all know what the apps are for. They're going on there because a bitch is horny and a bitch want to bust a nut. That's all it's for. In all honesty, that's all it's motherfucking for. We all are guilty of it. We all are guilty of it. And the fact now that we have the luxury, it's a luxury now compared to those days, Enrique, that you just brought up, those days when we had to go to bookstores and go to the park or get on I don't remember the line. Somebody has to remind me of the gay lines.
The chat lines.
Power chat and all those.
Yeah.
And
the
stuff.
Ravens and all that, yep.
Yeah, the Raven and all that stuff. We had to listen to their voice. Oh, they sound cute. Oh, my God, I hope they, you know, what you look like. Oh, really, you really look like that? If you come over here, you better look like that. Oh, dude, he got a big dick. I hope he got a big dick. And when he come over there, he got a little dick. And all this,
you
and that, you be over
back,
it.
Oh, you taking me back, bitch.
Now you got the luxury of a screenshot. You got the luxury of getting on a webcam and seeing it. And as soon as he sends you a picture of his dick, if it ain't big enough, you know you be blocking him, but you don't respond back. If the ass don't look good, you blocking him, you ain't responding back, and all the rest of stuff. So now it's a luxury, but don't be no fool. It's for the same bullshit that's been happening all this time. It ain't productive. You ain't gonna meet your. You ain't gonna meet your husband. You ain't gonna meet the person that you're gonna spend the rest of your life with. I know motherfucking Jack. That's bullshit. That's
no
complete
shade.
Bullshit. And do I feel that it greatly spreads STDs? I don't feel that it greatly spreads. It's just really no different than the shit that was going on in the bookstores and the subways at late at night and the bathrooms at the clubs and the bathhouses at the after hours. It ain't no different than that. It all comes responsibility. A person can still be on Jack and have some complete stranger meet you somewhere, fucking in a car, a hotel, or coming to your house or whatever, and you still have to be protected. But
yes.
You still have to be careful, because this is my fear of these apps. You have a lot of people that will go on these apps, and they will go on there because they know that 9 out of 10, I'm not going to know this person. Now I have the opportunity to have sex with a complete stranger. I don't even have to know your name. You don't even ask what is your name. You'll ask them what's their age before you ask them their name. And you don't even know shit about them. They can come, fuck, do whatever they got to do and leave, and you'll never see them again. 9 out of 10, you really will never see them again in your life. 9 out of 10, compared to going to a club, you'll see them again at a club or in the park or somewhere like that. But you got these people you don't know shit about, and you don't know what they're carrying, and just being protected is not 100% safe, because there's still other diseases out there besides HIV. There's still other things out there that can happen, and not even just diseases. These people are coming in there killing you. These people are coming in there robbing you. These people are coming in there knowing exactly where you live. But these people are coming in there stalking you. It's not safe out there at all. It's good for one thing and one thing only, the same thing that we know, busting a nut. But you have to still be careful how you do it. Like Enrique said, now you have the luxury of taking a screenshot, letting a person know, your friend, yo, this boy is about to come over. This is what he looks like. This is some of the texts. Anything happens, or I'm about to go over there. This is where I'm going to be. This is his number, or whatever. Don't be no fool. When somebody sends you their number, try to, like Calvin said, you could trace people now nowadays by their fucking phone number or shit like that, their email address or whatever. Look up their email address. Find their Facebook. Now you know who they are. You know who they know. Send that to somebody in case something happens. There's a lot of ways of doing things to protect yourself compared to the shit that you was doing back in the day. So actually, it's more safer, in all honesty, when it comes to stuff now, if you play your cards right. And that's truly what my opinion is on it. Question?
No, because I agree.
I have a question. I don't understand when it comes to you and Vonna, if I'm saying the name right. I'm sorry if I'm
yes,
not.
Yes,
you're sorry.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's how for you and Jasmine per se, it's easier for y'all to go out and walk down the street or whatever, and a man be attracted to the two of you and say, hey, my name is Paul. I like your outfit, or I like your swag,
to
know you, or whatever.
Let me stop you right there. And I just said it earlier, just like not even 10 minutes ago. Me and Jasmine, our sisters, we have a lot in common, but when it comes to boys, we don't. Like, she reads me for blood because I only date, you know, butch queens. So it's not as easy for me to go out and for a gay man and say, hey, what's up? Because I don't date the trade. I'll play with him. I'll have a good time with him, but you're not laying up in my house, and you got to get up out of here after we both come. So I date gay men. So it's a difference. It's really a difference for me.
I just felt like that whole scenario, the whole scenario of, like, it's on, we, people are only in there for one purpose is, like, stereotyping.
It's stereotyping
because
it's
don't get me wrong. Some people do use it for those reasons, but some people are sincere and looking for love.
Do you really? Do you really?
Bitch, they lonely.
Really?
I seriously do believe. I didn't say everybody, and I didn't say a certain percentage of people. I said, but some people are literally on there looking for love. You have people on there who you can hit up or whatever that I may find attractive or whatever the case it may be or whatever.
J-Rock said it perfectly. I'm not on it. J-Rock said it perfectly. If you're looking for love, go to eHarmony.
No, let me say this.
That's his opinion.
Okay, let me be nice. Let me backpedal a little bit. I can understand what you're saying in retrospect. Yes, you might stumble upon somebody who's attractive and who you want to get to know more and blah, 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 blah. But guess what? When me and Jasmine were young girls, it was queens in the park who was dating and being in relationships from the park, from the bookstore. I mean, let's not say that it's impossible for you to find love in a whole
no one
place.
Yeah, and that's true. I'm not going to sit here and say it's impossible. If it does seem like I'm saying it's impossible, I may be wrong, but I do challenge a person to prove to me right now
the whole lifestyle that we live invokes sex.
But not necessarily. But I will say this: if somebody wants to prove it to me, I challenge them. Prove it to me that you have an Adam for Adam, Jacked, BGC, Grindr, any of those without your hidden profile, your hidden pictures. If you have a profile and you don't have hidden pictures of yourself,
naked.
Private pictures of yourself. That means that you are on there for the same reason of what you're looking for, because that's what you're looking for. And if you look at somebody and be like, oh, wow, he has a good college education. He likes horror movies and R&B music. He likes to go to the museum, but he also has private pictures.
Let me say this, Jasmine. Let me be clear. Let me kick it funky. If a bitch on there talking about, oh, I got two college degrees and I like cooking and I like slow walks on the park, that bitch not getting no hit ups on no Adam. They is casting that bitch right back.
Ain't nobody. I can't.
Jasmine, and one thing when y'all mentioned the eHarmony, whatever, but things like that happened. Y'all heard about that lady with the Match.com lawsuit? Like, she came to meet the guy and a man beat her up and raped her.
Yeah, and I've heard that so many times on CNN. And I'm saying that all of them are innocent either, because they're definitely not. They're definitely not. But bottom line is, you know, I just, child, in this day and age,
Jasmine, I'm going to read to y'all because mine is very short. It says, about me, what's wrong with cunt boys? I like them. Hell, just be yourself. Femme, average cunt, I don't get into all that activity. I have a career, can you at least have a full-time job? Interest, get out of this thug drag and be yourself. You don't have to lie to kick it. If you're femme, don't fake the funk, it's fine with me. That's all I have. I never get hit up at anything. Now, when I had on there, oh, let's fuck, give me this, give me that, and a dick pic and all this stuff, ooh, there was all people that was looking for long-term relationships, was hitting my box up and everything. Talking about, what's your name, what do you do? They ask you a lot of questions so they can say, oh, no, I knew him before I slept with him. Bitch, you didn't know me.
It makes them feel good at night.
Or you have the profile pictures of people sitting in their office with their suit and tie, behind a desk smiling and stuff, compared to a person that's in the bathroom half naked with their boxes damn near off their fucking ass and all the rest of that stuff. We have 2 minutes left. Please call in really quickly if you're listening from a computer before we go into record mode. 347-215-5820. You know, do y'all people really be hitting up those guys that's dressed up all nicely, and or y'all be hitting up those people that's half
dressed? When I was on Seeking Arrangement, I did stuff like that. Well, it's a big website, whatever, I guess, with sugar daddies who have money, and a lot of them go through verification.
But that's that type of money.
But
Shamika,
you still get gagged on sites like that.
But that's also that's another topic that we just skip past as well, because we also know, especially Adam for Adam and all some of these other ones, that the girls go on there. Why? Because it's the money makers.
Yeah.
They go on there and they look for the guys that look like they got the dollar. They look for the guys that got those educations. I own my own business. I'm a construction owner. You know, they look for that, and they prey on that, and that's exactly what they're looking for.
Well,
so
they
have the luxury.
That's not true. That is not true. The guys
If you don't use these apps, you cannot say how it goes. That's not true at all. The guys with the dollars and the ones who are shaking their motherfucking purses in their wallets are the ones who's after everybody showing you how much money they got for you and to wine and dine you. It doesn't go like that.
I agree.
I have used this, and I had a previous profile on there. Yeah, I was one of the sugar babies on Seeking Arrangement. Yes, I was. I'm saying not all of them are actually legit. Some of them don't have the type of account where they are verified.
They don't
have to pay more to get verified. If you're not verified, they have site verified, saying their whole background was checked and ran through. Not all of them guys on that site are verified. And they will let you know that. And they will have the symbol with their verification on it. And most of them that have the verification are already taken. So sometimes you take a chance with somebody who say, oh, they have pictures of pool houses, jet skis, and when you meet them, they're like, oh, I want to talk at a coffee shop, and, oh, we need to learn. Oh, no, fuck that. I was like, I'm going home. Mm-hmm. I don't know what you're talking about, because you ain't about to beat me upside my head in the fucking coffee shop. I'm going home.
So give me this. So look, can I understand this? If you meet somebody on eHarmony, and they say, I have a PhD in this, and I own 6 businesses, and I'm currently, I speak 8 languages fluently, and I wear a size 10 shoe, and I love to watch horror films or whatever the case is, and you like
you
all
got
that. All this happens to be true. All this is true.
Okay.
And you get to this man's house, and y'all been dating for 6 months, say. And you like everything about this man. He finally put on them damn pants, and you see 1.5-inch dick. Are you not upset that eHarmony did not allow them to put this dick picture on there?
No, I'm not. Because let me tell you something about me.
Oh,
I'm
going
to go
take
for me. I don't care about that dick being 1.5 inches if you got them 2 degrees and we got this boat house and this jet, because I'm gonna go ahead and I'm going to milk you for what I need to, and I'm going to have sex with the gardener who got 10 inches.
Right, and even on these sites, they have it to where before you meet the girl, they had guys sending me gifts. You can send a gift from offline. You can send a Coach purse. You can send some Michael Kors boots. All type of shit. It's stuff before you meet this person to prove they have this type of
money.
So
when you look at it, you're still using it for the same tools.
Right, for money. So and at the same time, you look at it, they have their network, this, that, and the other. And you meet them and you don't like them, but you're still going to milk them, of course.
These
and it goes back to the original question, destructive or productive. There you go. That's what they're used for.
Well, Jasmine, the girls be trying to get me because they be thinking they're going to get these benefits because they can get married now. But they always, they always gag when I tell them, girl, I don't got nothing. I don't have nothing for you. And then it really gags me when they always say, "Oh, you a thug."
Oh no!
Check this out though. You a thug? I'd be like, "Girl, what? Okay."
Is she a pants wearing queen?
I ain't going to bed.
She's a pants wearing queen, y'all. She is a pants wearing queen, Miss Thing.
Let's not be no fool. I mean, even for butch queens, for girls, for boys, it's really a mess. In all honesty, it really is. In all honesty, even with Craigslist, I challenge anybody to do this. This is what I want you to do.
I've probably already done it.
I want you to do it. Somebody do it and come and let me know how it is next week. I guarantee you, take a picture. Go catfish. Catfish a beautiful girl. Don't make her too beautiful. But get a picture of a girl. Put her on Craigslist. Go to the straight section, woman looking for man, average age, whatever, 23, 24 years old. Put a little profile up there, and I guarantee you'll get tons of hit-ups. Now, tell all those people that you are transgender. Say, by the way, I'm a transsexual, and I guarantee you half of them, if not most of them, 75% of them, will still kick it with you.
Try to talk.
The
oh,
first
God,
thing that's
yes.
going to come out. The first thing that's going to come out your mouth is, well, will you suck my dick?
Yeah, or they ask you this. Well, how much?
How much for a good time?
Jasmine,
what is your
donation?
I want donation?
To see this picture of this Atlanta queen who's asking to be housed. She's a tranny from Atlanta, and she's asking to be housed with a woman down here. I want to know if you know this girl. I want to see this.
Yeah, that's what they do. They ask you how much because they know instantly we trying to get a coin up out of them. Or, you know, they say, well, I never did it before. I'm a first-timer, but you just, it's something about you that just turned me on, even though I had sex with all 15-year-old tranny girlfriends before I talked to you.
Yes, and I'm telling you, go to a straight section, not the gay section, nothing gay at all.
No.
Women looking for
section,
men,
they still have
long
men who
time,
are not by women.
No strings attached. I don't even know. I forget what they're called. But long-term relationships.
Mm-hmm.
I like to walk in parks, or picnics under trees, and all the rest. But hit them with that after one or two conversations. Hit them with, oh, by the way, I'm a transsexual, and watch how the whole attitude changes because they're still looking for the same motherfucking thing, a quick fix. That's all.
Yep.
That's it. And you can
do
that on
Match. When I used to get on the chat line, I used to get on the girl part, and niggas knew I was niggas, and it was just like, oh, what's good?
They don't care.
Niggas,
people want sex. Don't they think that gay people just
that's
want
sex?
That's
all they want.
And then straight people look at us as sexual objects because that's how we sometimes push ourselves off, as over-sexual
mm-hmm.
beings. So they just want to use us for what we give them the reason to use us for. People can only do to you what you allow them to do to you.
Well, Jasmine, have you heard of tagged?
Tagged?
Oh, wait, before y'all
tagged
get into it.
Tagged is throwback, but I...
Wait, let me tell y'all about tagged. Because I just got tagged, and my sister Prada was telling me about this. Jasmine, he's straight. Check this out. Tagged is supposed to be like, you know, just meeting friends, whatever. It'll ask you, do you want to meet boys? And girls or whatever. But here goes the thing about tag. It doesn't, you don't, it's not like a gay, like meeting gay boys or no. So it's kind of like all these boys hitting you up. They're like, oh, what's going on? What's up? And then they'll say that they straight. But then if you say, oh, what you looking for? I'm gay. And then it's kind of like, so what's up? So I'm like, what
mm-hmm.
the hell?
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, so why are y'all even
mm-hmm.
on here? It's not
mm-hmm.
even... It's like it's supposed to be like a little social quick link of everybody in the whole city and all this kind of stuff. But I'm like, why is a straight person hitting up somebody that's got gay on his profile?
No shade, Jasmine, can we talk about American Horror Story? Because I just watched that woman having her son again, and I just got sick a little bit.
We're going to get to that in a second. 832-491, you're on the air.
Hey, Prada.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, Friday.
Press one before J-Rock started talking about it. But, yeah, J-Rock is absolutely right. And then when you did mention the topic about having up girl pictures and, you know, telling the people that you're a transgender, well, you know me, I am a bush queen and drag, and I do get on a lot of social media sites, i.e. Jack, A4A, Grindr, Tag, Badu. I mean, it's so many different sites out there. And it's funny because a lot of the guys, they do hit you up, and, you know, they be like, oh, you're so beautiful. I know you hear this a lot, blah, blah, blah. I mean, I don't feel I'm an ugly person. But, I mean, once you do tell the people that you are a transgender or you're a cross-dresser, the whole atmosphere, it does change, and all of a sudden it's
mm-hmm.
like, they be some people, they be like, oh, hell no. Then they hit you back up, oh, well, did you suck good dick? And me, I'm like,
mm-hmm.
well, just because I tell you that I'm not a woman doesn't mean I'm looking to suck your dick. Bitch, if you want me to suck
mm-hmm.
your dick, bitch, do you suck dick? I mean,
okay.
If you don't want me to be disrespectful,
you better say that.
Bitch, okay, if you don't want me to be disrespectful, don't disrespect me, bitch, because I'm not every average transgender. I'm not out here trying to pay your bills and take care of you, bitch. You're a grown-ass man. No, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
You better say that.
There you go. Well, that's pretty much it for this topic, unless anyone has anything else they want to address with this. I mean, you know, it's no shade. You know, we all like to do things to have fun, and, you know, the bottom line is whatever you're doing, just be safe about it. That's all I'm saying, you know. Be safe about it and definitely be careful, you know. Be careful. But whatever you do, don't be no fool, because it's always a fool. It's always the fools that get lost, you know. Mm-hmm. And you just be careful with what you do, how you do it, and, you know, just take care of yourself because and love yourself and care about yourself because, you know, it goes back to the original topic and stuff. You know, only you can make yourself happy and only you can help yourself to continue to grow and succeed. You know, that's what it all boils down to. This topic was, none of these topics was to attack anyone, no parents, no children, nobody that gets on these apps or anything like that, because actually I think it's a luxury to have these things nowadays because, again, you're able to filter out and weed out, you know, if you, you know, do it the right way because, you know, that's where the catfish come from. But do it the right way. Make sure, you know, that these people that you are meeting are the real people, you know, that are the real people that they say they are, you know, webcams and a real quick Oval or, you know, what is it, Skype or something like that, to make sure they're the real people. Also screenshot your shit. Have a girlfriend, you know, to let, you know what's going on. Protect yourself. Be careful. They can sit here and send you a million messages and all the rest of that stuff. But, bitch, a bitch will come in there and you don't know them from Adam, you know, and you never know what's going on. So just be careful because, you know, we continue to lose people. And I keep hearing, you know, recently, when I was doing the picture today, you know, as I was looking up the logos and stuff, I was seeing some guy, you know, recently he got beat up because he met some boy on an app. And when he got to the boy's house, the boy attacked him and, you know, broke his face. And, you know, it just, you know, it's just really, really crazy. A lot of people set people up. Even when, you know, with Craigslist, you got to be careful. You know, you go, you know, you're selling your iPad or selling something. When you go to meet the person, they robbing you for a pair of sneakers or something like that. It's just a lot of crazy people out there. You just need to be careful. It ain't no different than meeting somebody in the park. And hell, it ain't no different than meeting somebody in fucking church. You know, it's just a lot of crazy fucking people out there, bottom line.
Right, because even when I sell stuff on Craigslist, I always go with some friends.
You just gotta be careful. But on that note, did anybody else have anything they wanted to say about tonight's topic? I'll start off with you, Calvin.
All I want to say is all I remember is when the worst thing to worry about was somebody asking you, "Did you do phone sex?" Now those were the days right there. Now it's like you want to meet up, you want to fuck, you want to suck dick. It's like, oh, God. But that's all.
J-Rock, anything else about tonight's topics?
Yeah, long gone the days, they're gone. All that is gone. Everybody's just crazy. And watch out for these scams on here of them people that work at NetSpin trying to get you to spend $100 on a money pack so they can turn it to $1,000 and all that kind of stuff. That's stupid.
What?
Never mind. Dick, did you have anything to say about tonight's topics at all? Dick?
Yeah, from the aspect of the first topic or whatever with the young kids or whatever, I strongly urge you, if you find children if you find yourself sexually attracted to young children or whatever, seek some help. That's disgusting and it's sick. And on the second topic, only thing that I can say is at the end of the day, wrap it up.
Good answer. Jason?
No. I'm going to keep my... Just wrap it up.
What, you going to keep your opinion to yourself?
Uh-huh.
Well, say what you got to say.
No,
that's what we're here for.
No, I'm good. I'll just say this. Use Adam for Adam, BGC, Grindr, Jack, him, her, whatever you choose to use for whatever the purpose is that you're using it for. If it's for sex, be careful. If it's to make a new friend, remember, it takes a long time before you can call someone a friend. So just whatever it is that you're using it for, use it to the best of your ability, and don't let it use you. There.
Good answer, Shamika.
I think I said everything I had to say.
Okay. Vonna?
Yes, I'm sorry. My baby woke up, so he was talking to me. I'm sorry.
Did you have any closing statements with tonight's topics?
No, just think about what you do. Don't use crutch. You know, don't let your life be a crutch. Work through things, be better. And if you're going to be on Jacked or Grind or anything else, honey, wrap up and have a good time. You only got one life, live it. Stop letting people judge you, Jill.
Mm-hmm. And Prada, you're still there. You have anything you want to say about tonight's topics?
I just want to say that everybody needs to, know their worth. And, you know, you don't have to settle because you feel like it's nobody out there for you. It's somebody out there for everybody.
Mm-hmm. There you go. All right. Well, I want to thank everybody that tuned in tonight for tonight's topics as far as, you know, J-Rock, thank you so much for bringing that topic to the light. It was really deep and emotional, and I know it touched certain individuals out there, and that's all I care about. I don't care about a million listeners or anything like that. I really care about touching one or two people, and I know it did tonight, and I thank you. And to the people that did respond, thank you so much, and to the people that it helped, because I got the inboxes and the tears. I'm glad we were here for you to help you. And God bless everybody that's going through something and that has gone through something. So, you know, just, you know, keep your head up and keep your faith up, and, you know, everything will be all right. Now I'm going to change tonight's topics into our, you know, talk about TV shows and things of that sort. So before I, you know, give any spoilers out there, I'm just going to ask everybody if they want to continue to sit with us. Calvin, did you see American Horror Story and Scandal and stuff like that?
You know I did.
J-Rock?
Everybody just remember to wrap it up and make sure you use condoms. The life you save may be back your own.
He is so
okay, thank you, J-Rock. Dick?
I got a chance to see Scandal, but I didn't see American Horror Story tonight because it snowed here and it knocked the cable out.
Is it snowing already?
Yeah, it snowed real bad, yep.
The end of days, like my grandma said, the end of days are coming.
Wow.
Well, it snows,
well,
I mean, in some places in October, it does snow.
Yeah, it is about that time. Okay. It's just funny because it's still 80 and 85 degrees and damn near 90 degrees here in Florida. So, you know, I just never feel the difference. Like right now it's 65 degrees and tomorrow it'll be 80, 85. Dick, we're going to talk about American Horror Story. So you want to say goodnight right now?
It was nice talking to everybody. I will see y'all on a later date.
Thank you, Dick. Have a good one. Jason, did you see the shows?
I didn't see it, but you can talk about it.
Okay, Shamika?
I watched American Horror Story, of course. I'm not a Scandal fan, so I've never watched it.
Okay. Ooh. And Vonna, you said you've seen it. And Prada, did you see it tonight?
Well, I haven't gotten to horror stories, but I live for Scandal.
Okay, well, we're going to talk about it. So where do y'all want to pick up with this? Prada, you can sit right there if you want to or whatever. So Calvin, anybody, where do y'all want to talk about when it comes to the shows? Like what happened tonight with American Horror Story?
I mean, where do you want to start off? I mean, because there was so much fuckery tonight on this. Well, like, I was literally glued to this TV screen from when it came on. I think, all in all, I think this was one of the best shows so far. I gagged at Miss Honey going down on her son. I just,
I think the part that gagged me the most is when Gabby, she started touching that Nunicat, baby.
Yeah. I was like, where is she going? I thought she was trying to set him up or something.
Well,
I was like, okay, what do you...
him, like to corner him. And
yeah.
She didn't reach, she reached. Like the country, she reached under. Oh, Jesus, that just hit. Oh, fuck.
I think this is when Gabby's probably going to end up joining the Angela side.
Marie Laveau, because it's only fair because she is the voodoo doll. I think he was just sent to capture her. Like, you know how Marie Laveau practically knows everything already, and she knew how it was going to go.
Mm-hmm.
But he had
what did you think about
shook.
Kathy Bates? Kathy Bates always makes me feel it, though.
She does.
Like I said, she is my favorite actress, one of my favorite actresses ever. On this show, she kind of pushed me a little bit away, but when I seen her crying at that TV screen when Obama was talking, all I could do was holler.
It's telling lies, the magic box.
Right.
And I love how they made her Queenie Slave. That shit was hilarious.
Yeah, I love how, you know, she took up for her and said, you know, as a matter of fact, you know, she's your slave. And
she said
it was
something I hate more than a racist. She did.
Uh-huh, yep.
So I love that part of it.
What do you think Fiona's going to do with her? Like, okay, why do you think she's keeping her around? Do you think she's keeping her around? You know, she already knows, like, okay, you know, you have, you know, we know what she did to you. And like, what role
do
you think she's
going to... I feel as though she's keeping her around to get to Marie Laveau. And also she's keeping her around because she wants to find out what the fuck is it making this lady immortal. What is it she wants to find out?
Right. I think the only reason she's keeping her around is to find out the everlasting life part. I think once she gets that, she's done with Kathy. But I think Kathy's going to come back with a vengeance because Kathy's going to get tired of being used and abused.
Yeah, I have a question. What surgery do you think she was trying to get? Because I didn't catch on to what she was trying to get done.
As far as her face goes, I heard the doctor saying that we take all the skin off your face and then we do all this stuff and put fat here. I think that she was just going to do a whole full facial reconstruction. You know, she wasn't going to have no face. They were going to go under there and just redo the whole thing. Kind of like, you know, I don't know if anybody, well, I don't know. I never heard of it being that deep, but it reminded me of, you know, when he said take her whole face off, it reminded me of the movie Face Off when they took the faces off and, you know, switched them. So I really, really don't know. I never heard of that really happening, but, you know, that's really weird.
And, you know,
I think it was last year, the year before last, the woman who was attacked by the ape and, they had to give her a whole new face.
But how did her face come out?
I guess it might still be healing because, I mean, I noticed they had did the surgery, but they haven't, I haven't seen any pictures of anything.
Uh-huh. And another thing that sent me is when she conjured up the whole story about how she could possibly give her fertility and she paid it the whole time playing solitary. That shit was fun.
She said, I won't do it for $50,000, I won't do it for
$100,000.
I said, oh no.
She said, I'll do whatever, rob a bank.
Right, she was giving me very much the enemy of my enemy is still my enemy, bitch. Don't do it.
Yes,
she's like, I ain't got nothing to do with my mother.
She almost gave the Mimi Leakes line, baby. You rolling with the wrong team. She said, you with the wrong tribe, darling. I can't help you on your best day.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think about Fiona killing Miss Madison?
I think she's coming back.
Yeah, when you see the previews of next week, you do see somebody pop out the grave.
Right, I think that she's probably going to be the one to help her, help the Kathy Bates become stronger than what she is, man.
You know who probably come back?
I think the lady is going to get to the house, the one who can do the resurrection thing. Something about me, about her tells me that somehow she's going to get to the house.
Yeah, I believe she's going to get to the house. She was plucked. She wanted that boy all to herself.
Yeah, she wanted Kyle. But I think she has a problem because I think everyone leaves her. She just didn't want, because remember,
yeah.
She didn't want O'Gara to leave. She didn't want any, like, she was like, you know, everyone basically leaves her who comes around her. So she wants people to stay. But Kyle, like, almost gave her, wore her out. He flung
mm-hmm.
her that one time. She was like, shit, I'm going to let him go.
But I live for her part. I loved her in American Horror Story 2, though. Oh, my God. She was such a character because she was possessed by the devil. So she was so good in American Horror Story 2. But I'm living for her now every time we, you know, we see her. But this boy, honey, he wasn't having it no more. He was tired of his mother having him. He knocked the shit out of her.
But wait, when she pulled back that curtain, she had to keep her composure, like, oh, my God.
Yeah, she Kyle looked at that body, and she was like, oh.
Right, I knew he was going to be like Frankenstein. You can't expect to put somebody back together, resurrect them, and think they're going to come back normal.
Well, they always say resurrection comes with a price, honey.
Exactly.
And then she was like, the girls, the young girls can do you like I could do you. And he was like, shit.
Yeah. What do you think about the little girl that can hear, you know, hear in everybody's minds and stuff?
I love her.
What do you think about?
I love her.
I really do. I do live for her too.
I love her, and she says, and then I know she has downs, but it doesn't seem like it. Like when, you know, like when she talks, I mean, I don't know. She just excites me. I love her.
She's fierce.
I love her.
Mm-hmm.
She is spicy. She is very fierce. Like when she comes out of her mouth with something. You know, you all you can do is kiki at it because she just read a bitch down with few and little words.
Did you catch the neighbor next door though? Did you catch the neighbor next when he catched the neighbor next door when she came in the house and Miss Fiona was reading her, honey? She came in there with the Bible and said, "I always bring a Bible to a person's house when I come to it," and Miss Fiona was just reading her, letting her have it.
And she said the Christians are some of the most perverted people. And
I was like, I know this one, child.
Well, what is the story with that butler?
Oh, what,
I don't know.
I think
it
was from where
he's
seen.
Well,
they said it.
They pretty much said it tonight when he's seen.
Yeah, Kay, got
he witnessed Fiona as a young girl kill the first Supreme. And he took her tongue. I mean, she took his tongue. That's why she said, "What are you looking at, cat?
Got
your tongue?" Mm-hmm. And so she could, yeah, I guess she took his tongue or something like that. So, and then he was there again to see her kill Madison.
Mm-hmm.
Madison ain't having it, though. She coming back.
Yeah, I think she's. But I don't think, I mean, something tells me maybe she saw that she could be the next Supreme, but I'm thinking the witty, the nerdy girl. I think she probably the next Supreme.
She pisses me off a lot. She I don't know. She's just, ugh. She pisses me off.
She does. But I like her. I think she's one of the good witches. She tries to be. Like, all her mistakes, she tries to make them right. Like, when she killed a boy, she brought him back, you know. And then she tried to bring him back to his mother and stuff like that. So.
Right, at first I thought she was going to end up joining the little house, the little school, but then I was like, she might end up becoming their enemy.
You never know.
I think she'll probably turn into Supreme later on.
Cornelia's dad, like, where does Cornelia come, like, who fucked this witch and made this baby? Or did she conjure it up in a bowl or something? Like,
well,
who's
Cornelia's
father?
It wasn't that baby crazy.
Who is Cornelia's father? Like, I don't know.
I want to know how long it took to get fucking 2 ounces of nut.
She called him man. She called it man's gravy.
Baby gravy.
Then they put goat's blood on her stomach. They really, that was a fool. That shit was hilarious. She thought her all this shit playing solitaire. I can't deal.
But ain't no shame to Angela Bassett. Angela Bassett was looking really nice. She looked really pretty when she was doing those dances and stuff. She looked really, really nice. She still looks so good for her age.
The voodoo dances got me. Made me want to get up and shake her tail feather, girl.
All right, so listen, we can talk about Scandal this week, honey. I think we touched up on it on Monday, but we can continue to talk about it. I know, Shamika, you don't watch Scandal. Why you don't watch Scandal? You never got into it?
I don't know. I just never got into it. I had Netflix, so I know I would have to start from the beginning, but I just never got into it. It's like American Horror Story. I didn't know it existed. Like, you surprised me when you said something about season two. I didn't know that you watched it, you know, from season one. I didn't know American Horror Story existed. I didn't know Scandal existed until this season.
Yeah.
I mean, I knew
what I am waiting on is Being Mary Jane. I want to watch that.
I know Scandal existed. Oh, yeah, what is it?
With Gabrielle Union, Being Mary Jane or something like that. They showed a preview of the series, but it never came back on. It's supposed to premiere sometime on BET. It's a good show. From what I've seen, a good show.
Jason, did you watch Scandal last week?
Mm-hmm. But I didn't like it. It was kind of slow. It was a slow one for me.
Yeah, I think we talked about it on Monday a little bit because it was the father, and
mm-hmm.
I said I want the mother to come back on me or something because somebody need to shut this man down, and he getting on my nerves. So I need to put him in a motherfucking hole, honey. Getting on my nerves.
I'm mad at Huckleberry Finn. I don't know why Huck didn't kill this man when he had the chance to.
Because he still know where Huck killed his wife and baby is.
Of course they're not going to allow you to let happen what you really think is going to happen.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. And no shade, like, I don't even think it would be fun killing him because even when Huck did find him at the trailer park or at the trailer or whatever, he was like, I'm surprised you didn't do it earlier. Like, he just didn't give a fuck. He was like, you gonna kill me? Kill me.
Yeah, like, he knew already this man wasn't gonna do nothing to him. You know, you gotta have a show with the ultimate enemy, the ultimate villain, and he's just, you know, the big villain, honey. He's
so,
just gonna be the big villain.
Jake and Olivia gonna start back having?
I sure do.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, no,
I don't think it's going to turn into Olivia going to have to test herself to make sure, you know, try to get the president out of her system.
Mm-hmm. And you know,
all the rest of this.
I honestly think that wedding or them actually hooking up is not going to take place as long as he's the president.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that the wedding picture might be for her and Jay.
What'd you say?
I said I think the wedding picture might be for her and Jay.
Yeah.
Well, has anybody watched The Witches of East End?
Yes, I did.
I do, but...
Yes, I watched Sheldon.
Mm-mm. It's moving too slow for me.
Slow. Right, it's just slow. Like, Charm gave me new villains every show. And, you know, but this fucking shifter cannot be called. It's pissing me off. And then you finally see who the shifter is, but you don't know who the fuck he is. And then
I think that's probably the reason why is they probably don't want to make it seem like, you know, those, you know, Buffy, Angel, Charm, X-File type shows where there's a new, you know, a new villain every week or something. They want to just kind of have a storyline with it, and, you know, it just leads into something else, something else, something else. So that might be what the problem is.
The last episode, they show who the shifter was. It's a man, like a possessed demon, and he just embodies other people. Like, he embodied her. He played, you know, he looked like her and had been killing people over the, you know, over centuries because they've been alive so long. So he can
mm-hmm.
embody anyone.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like, it's just weird. It's. I mean, if they didn't want to go in the direction of Charm, they should have tried not having the two sisters.
I think they did a bit of Harry Potter with that. Remember, he who should not be named, he used to possess other people's bodies and stuff like that. And I think that's what he resembles.
I don't know.
I think they all tie into each other, but I still find it very interesting, especially with the girls coming to grips with their power and learning, you know, how to use their powers and stuff. And you think one is going to be stronger, but, you know, or you think one is going to be weaker, and you find out that one is actually stronger. And I think it's just kind of a key. I enjoy it. You know, I think it's really good and stuff. I just like all those type of shows.
Yeah, I really enjoy it because it's like over centuries, even though they've been alive so long, they start over each time they die. And they have to learn themselves again. And it's a process.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's even going to go that far into a second generation of them. I mean, I think I find it real interesting, but at the same time, it's like if I miss it, it's like, okay, I'll watch it on demand. But when it comes to Scandal and American Horror Story, I'm like, bitch, my motherfucking clock is set to 10 o'clock on Wednesday night and 10 o'clock on Thursday night. Yes.
Yeah, I fell asleep early today and woke up at 7:09. I had to look because it was dark in my room and I just had my TV on. I was like, oh, shit, I probably missed it. But I looked at my phone, it was only 7. Like, okay.
I'm about to bring the white out, but have y'all ever gotten to that show, Duck Dynasty?
No.
I love Duck Dynasty. I like it. Yeah. I don't watch it often. But
that is, like, one of my favorite shows. I love it.
And they don't play. They were waiting. They weren't going to sign their paper until they got, I think, $2 million per show or something per show, something in the millions per show, and they wouldn't sign, and they're the highest-rated show on their station. So they signed. They knew better. They some smart people.
Exactly. They don't play. They bought their money.
Smart people.
They millionaires for a reason.
I don't get into their Hog show, though. The Hog, whatever.
I don't get into it, but I do enjoy watching it from time to time.
Oh.
Sorry, we just kind of went off topic there, but go ahead.
So what else? Did anybody
go see? I'm surprised y'all don't get into Dream of Nene. Dream of Nene. Y'all didn't answer me Monday.
I hate that show.
Y'all don't watch it.
I hate that show.
It gives me very much the one that Kim did. I just was like, what's the need? I don't care about Nene that much to watch herself.
No, I don't think it give what Kim give because Nene is going above and beyond, and Nene, she treating her bride.
Cares
Kim
about her people,
body.
Right.
Yeah. Kim,
Kim put her own mother out and told her use a porta potty, please.
I mean, I understand that, but how many other reality stars to get Tanisha from Bad Girls Club? What's the other bitch, Kim? And there was some other bitch who married on TV, Lala and them. Like, I'm like, okay, this is not new, and it's just not interesting to me anymore.
Well, I love Nene.
Me too, I love Nene. And I found her show to be more intriguing than all the other wedding stories. Because, like, all type of shit didn't happen. Like, she came up, she was like, I didn't go in the water with the what she said with the dolphins, because I'm on my period, and I want them to smell my blood and come for me.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe because I just haven't gave
so
it a chance.
I love her. And she said one of her, she really have educated friends. Like, I can say, honestly, she's not the type to just grab all her fast girlfriends and put them, you know, on the line, and they probably backstab you. And she brought a group of all her friends, like, from every walk of life that are just regular people. Like, one of her friends got a mosquito bite, and her lip is flayed. It looked like she got some collagen put in there. That shit was hilarious. I like it.
Did anybody, I mean, besides TV show, did anybody get into that Hot Sugar video by Tamar?
No. But I see the screenshots in the room. Her nose is crooked.
I know London brought it up on, I think, Monday or Tuesday. I still haven't seen the video.
Honey, you don't want to. Jasmine, don't waste your time.
The song
is okay. The video, she has come out and said she blames the directors because they very much recorded it and left her to edit it just to go shoot Rihanna somewhere else. So she's blaming the producers and the director.
Yeah, they're going back and forth on
the video.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, of course she's going to blame everybody else.
Right. Like you can tell the dancers, they were good, but they weren't professional. Like, the one dancer next door, like, a couple of the dancers kept looking at the camera, and then she swung her hair, and her hair touched one of the dancers' head. Damn, he almost busted out laughing, like, oh, my God, Tamar's hair touches me. Like, he was I was like, oh, my God, this is so unprofessional, Tamar. And the only reason she did it is just to get more faggots under her belt. No tea, no shade, but that's why she did it.
Yeah, because
I kind of side with her on a portion of it because you are paying your money and you want it to look good. I mean, she's not. If she wanted to look shitty, she would have filmed it with some average girl off the street. I think if he's up to par and he has that type of resume that he's working with people like Rihanna, of course you looked at him like, damn, he probably can hook me up too. And if your shit come out shitty, you're going to be upset.
But, I mean, still, look at it. Her husband, I know he got poor, so if
that's
he really wanted her to have
Lady Gaga videos, and that's his muse.
Yeah, right, if he wanted her to have a successful video, she could have had one.
Right, she couldn't have found somebody else to edit that video. I mean, there was basic shit that needed to be edited out of that video. It looks like I got a camera and just put some little bit of magic.
But it looks like he had good rapport. If you sit up there and look at his history, he worked with bitches like Rihanna, and you see her videos get voted best video of the year and shit like that. I feel like she thought she found a good director.
Now, that's true. Like, I understand that. But then after the fact, who said your video had to be released on this day? Bitch, Beyonce not her CD back. Everybody else not their CD and videos back. You can knock your video back a little bit. Go get another editor to edit your shit.
Right. That is true.
She tried it.
And I'm not a Tim Marshall, you guys. I'm not at
the
all.
The dope thing, though. So. I don't like the bitch.
I am a bitch, but she's not my...
Only song I like her.
Why you don't like
Tim? The only song I like of hers is Love and War. She gives me very much everything else but Tamar. She gives me Mariah Carey. She, in this video that we're talking about, if you look at two or three of the little sections, she looks like fucking Beyonce. In the beginning, she was giving Toni Braxton. Bitch, who is Tamar? You're giving me everybody but Tamar.
Is anybody going to see Bad Grammy again?
I can't hear you.
What did you say, Jasmine? You broke up a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Is anybody going to see Bad Grandpa this weekend?
I want
me.
To.
I'm not wasting my money on it. I'm just going to wait till it come out, and I'm a pirate.
Going to.
I don't know. I think
I'm
going to see The Counselor this weekend.
You're going to go see which one?
The Counselor with Cameron Diaz and all those people.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I never heard of it. I had to look that up.
Me either. I can't wait for Madea's Christmas to come out.
I can't wait for Hunger Games 2 to come out.
That was my favorite movie of 2012. I don't care what I watched that from front to back. I love that movie. I am seriously waiting. If I could have been, I don't care if I was a bitch that got killed off in the first second, I would have did it for free.
Yeah,
I love Hunger Games.
Yeah. Well, not for free, bitch. Hold on, pause. Let's bring that back a little bit. I would have agreed to have been the first bitch you killed off for a nice coin. I would do that.
I love Hunger Games.
That movie is everything, though.
But
yeah, I love the Hunger Games.
Don't do shit like that, Volunteers tribute. Like, bitch, who asked you?
Well, I mean, she can have fun with all that shit. I mean, I'm sorry, little brother, little sister, you better get your ass out there and do the best you can. I love you down.
But how I am behind my siblings, I couldn't see myself doing something
right.
Like
that. I was about to say, yeah. And when
no
it comes
doubt.
To it, now if it was my little sister, no the doubt. One I don't really talk to that much, okay, bye. But if it was my sister, my big sister, no, I'll take my big
it
ass out there. I'll probably
big
die.
Sister, big brother, whatever. But if I feel like I know I'm the survivalist of the family and I'm sitting there catching pigeons and shit for us to eat, you know, I'm the best, you know, fit for this type of thing.
True.
I wouldn't send my sister or brother out there knowing, you know, they're helpless. They have nothing to use to help them stay alive. I was so sad when Ruth died, though. Oh, she was so cute. She was a sneaky little thing, too.
She was, but she played that part now.
She was. She got the girls. She set up a plan for them to get food, all type of shit.
Yeah, when they blew up all their rations, I was living. Mm-hmm.
And she saved her. Remember, she was the one who told her to knock that beehive down so she could get out that tree because they were waiting for her under that tree.
Girl, them bees took me there. I was
yeah,
scared. Yeah,
and them bees would kill that girl.
Poor baby.
Good movie. Mm-hmm. And that's who that guy bought it, like, the man with the blue hair. What's his name? Emery? What's his name in ballroom who had that blue hair? That's what he looked like to me, the man from Hunger Games. He did not look like an avatar. He looked like the man from Hugging It.
Oh, you talking about what's it, Trey? Not Trey, the Garcon boy.
Yes, Trey. Who had the blue hair.
Yeah,
Trey. Yeah. he brought it like the man from Hunger Games. They kept on doing the avatar. It was not the avatar. It was the man from Hunger Games that he looked like to me.
Wow.
So for anybody that's a Batman fan, Batman Origin Arkham Origin comes out tomorrow night at midnight.
Oh no, baby. So y'all better get that on DVD, demand, whatever. I don't want nobody coming shooting nothing up while I'm in them.
This a video
it's a
game,
video
not
game.
A movie.
Oh, okay.
They sent me a text telling me make sure I'm there tomorrow at 10 p.m. to get it.
Are you into video games? I know you like electronics, but I didn't know you were into video games, Jasmine. So are you the type of person you go to Comic-Con in your city?
No, I haven't been to Comic-Con. They don't really have Comic-Con here. They have had it a few years ago.
Okay.
It's not as big as I would love to go to the one in L.A., but child, I ain't got time to be on a plane that long. But, yeah, I do love video games and, you know, things of that sort, comics and stuff. I actually subscribe to a thing called Loot Crate, which is for, like, gamers and comics fans where they send you... They send you a box every month of, like, little gifts, little things pertaining to comics and video games and things of that sort. I've always loved all that stuff.
Oh,
right.
Do you collect them?
Huh?
Do you collect them? Are you a collector? Like, you know, some people, their collection is worth thousands of dollars.
Oh, do I collect
like
comic books and stuff like that? Actually, no, I don't really collect them.
Okay.
I have some, but I don't, like, collect them. I collect figures as far as, like, superheroes or horror, you know,
like
horror.
Like,
your
virgin.
Yeah, I kind of like stuff like that. I have a movie collection of, like, over 1,000 DVDs, and, you know, I have horror figures and, you know, like, Jason and, you know, Michael Myers and Chucky and Tiffany and, you know, little dolls like that. And superhero statues and stuff like that. I like that stuff.
Oh,
right. It seems like in the LGBT community, I found that a lot of femme queens and a lot of the feminine gay guys are the ones who get into the hardcore games. Like, I know some of my homegirls love Call of Duty. They love like GTA 5. And it wouldn't be something that you would think that they would play. But they love it. Like,
those type of games, I don't. Those type of games, I don't really get into. I know a lot of. Yeah, it's not really just the violent ones. I'm just not into those. You know, type of games like the sports games, Call of Duty, Gears of War, even Grand Theft Auto. He actually got Grand Theft Auto yesterday or the day before yesterday. He's been playing and he loves it, but I haven't had a chance. And I've been looking at the reviews. I was just telling him today that I see that they gave it a 9, you know, like a 9.75 on the review for Grand Theft Auto. But I can't really get into those games. The games that I like, in all honesty, are games that consist of, you know, challenges. Like, I love, you know, of course, survival horror like Resident Evil, games like that, where it consists of you having to do things and go out there and solve a mystery, solve a puzzle, solve a challenge. You know, like even with Batman and stuff, it's not just about being Batman. It's about the challenge itself, you know, trying to find out how this is happening, how you put an end to this, and things of that sort. You know, that's the stuff that I like.
Right,
all
like
that shooting and killing and things of that sort, I just really don't get into. I just got a long message. Somebody wants me to share their story, so I'm going to share it really quickly because they said they couldn't get on. So in order for, because we are winding down, and let me read what they are saying. Hey, Jasmine, I tried to get through, but I couldn't. I wanted to share my story with you. This guy tried to get with me constantly for 2 years, and I ignored him because he tried on a for A, M for N, and G, I mean BGC. I thought I was the only young dude looking for love. Oh, well, one night I was going through it with family issues, and I was weak. I told him we could chill and smoke, but I wanted nothing more. And he said it was then, you know, he said, I wanted nothing more than, I wanted nothing more. He then said, cool, I'll pick you up and drop you home. That meant a lot to me, but I paid it because I still wasn't attracted. That was 06. To this day, he is the only man I've ever loved. I consider him a friend and a lover slash soulmate. I have and never will consider another to be the love of my life, my friend, my partner, my family. This is the same man beside me in my profile picture. Okay. And who's your profile picture? Let me see.
Oh,
that's sweet. Yeah, see, that's sweet. So there is it is success in there.
There is love on sites like that.
Yeah, so, and congratulations. You know, I don't think, if anyone thought that I was coming off saying that it's impossible, I don't think anything is impossible at all, but we just go with, you know, with the majority.
And what's going on.
You know, so that's where that comes from. But congratulations to you, and God bless you. You know, I'm glad that it did work out for you. Somebody's phone is really going off. Who is texting somebody this late?
Karen. I just want to say you can find me at nailmelikejesus at christianmingle.com if you're interested.
You okay? You okay? So what's everybody doing this weekend?
Mostly me. I'm finalizing things for my birthday. My birthday is November 6th, so I'm, I guess, making a final plans on what I'm doing. And my
what are you doing for your birthday?
I don't know yet. I think I'm going to do one of the clubs here for the weekend. My birthday's on a Wednesday, so I'll just have to pay by this weekend for that weekend. And do a dinner. That's it. I was going to do Corks and Canvas with my sister. You know what that is? We have that down here. And, it's like you pay for your people. Well, the one she's doing is an open to the public one where you pay for each person to sit down, paint, and drink, and you bring your own food and stuff like that. But they give you the supplies and apron and stuff like that for you to go and paint, like a sip and paint type thing, but it's called Corks and Canvases here.
Okay.
You have to pay by the head. So, but it's something really nice. We've never done it before, and she's doing it for her birthday. She made 25. So she's doing it this weekend and Saturday.
Well, me, I'm into this weekend I'm going to a spoken word event. I don't know if y'all know it. I don't think I ever told y'all, but I'm very much into poetry and spoken word and things like that. And they're having a reunion of one of the spoken word groups that used to be around here called Triple L Poetry. And so I'm going to there. It's like a little, you know, grown and sexy 25 and over type thing. And now that I'm finally 25, I can go to these, you know, little get-togethers.
I know, that's not fair. You make 21 and you can't get into 25 and over. Fuck that shit. That's how I don't go out. That shit pissed me off.
But I'm just going to go. You know, there's a little champagne bottle on every table, a couple cups. You know, we're just going to go and have fun.
That's good.
Jason?
We're going, if we don't go see, Bad Grandpa, we're supposed to go to, a haunted hayride into this, old hospital that they turned into some, like, scary psych ward, so we're supposed to do that this
weekend. That sounds fun.
So I'm going to ask you to pray for my strength in Jesus Christ, because it'll be the first time that it'll be the first time I've actually made it all the way through something scary because I don't do haunted houses and haunted graves and stuff like that. So I'm trying to step out of my comfort zone and try new things. And since everybody says, oh, we had such a good time and we do this and we do that, so I'm going to go and see how it is. But be mindful that my name is Jason, so I will have something with me to protect myself.
Well, you just got to go with a lot of- so y'all can laugh about it.
I mean, one thing, y'all should come down here one Halloween and come put some X's on Marie Laveau, supposedly her grave. But then I sure her body's in there. No,
I don't even do real grave. I don't even do real grave, y'all. Let alone haunted one.
Crowder, what you doing this weekend?
I'm probably going to go see the counselor. I have to work, and I don't know. I might go out. I haven't been out in a minute.
Mm-hmm. And everybody, yes. Is it cold where you guys are at?
No, not really, not yet.
It's not really here.
Jazz, do you know one scary movie that I could never get into because I just didn't like it because he was black? Candyman. I hated that. Like, I hated Candyman. Fuck that. You look like you could be my uncle. Fuck that.
To this day, to this fucking day,
I can't watch Candyman.
I cannot watch that movie all the way through. I hate when people say the name.
Ooh, I thought it was just me.
I met the guy in real life at a horror convention, and even looking at Tony in his eyes gave me the creeps. Even on fucking Final Destination, I cannot stand him. He scares the shit out of me. Like,
I couldn't stand looking at him when he was on The Young and the Restless. When I saw him on there, I was just like, all I saw was the Candyman.
And they say before he did Candyman, he did a lot of scary movies like voiceovers and stuff like that. But once I got to see him, and he kept on popping up, and y'all don't, this bitch saying he right there, and y'all don't see he right there. She don't want to see him, and he keep killing her. Fuck that. I can't watch this. You look like somebody awful.
I can't do it. He scares the shit out of me.
Candyman scared me more than Freddy Krueger.
Right. I love scary movies, but I can't.
Yeah, he did. That's why I never watched it. Any other movie, I can do it. Halloween, anything. When it comes to Candyman, because he was black, that scared the shit out of me. That could be anybody. Fuck that. Then he had that fucking jacket on. Bitch. Mm-mm.
Well, the show is about to go into, we're about to get cut off, so really quickly. Prada, you want to say goodnight?
Goodnight.
Thank you, Prada. Shamika, have a good weekend. Good
night,
you want to say goodnight?
Good night,
Calvin,
everyone.
You want to say goodnight?
Good night, everybody.
Thank you, Calvin. Jason, you want to say goodnight?
Good night.
Thank you, Jason. Everybody, thank you for tuning in to the State of Emergency show. And tonight's topic, we'll be back this upcoming Monday for the weekend recap, recapping anything that took place this weekend. Everybody have a safe weekend. Wrap it up. Be safe. Be careful. And we'll talk to you later. Have a good one. Bye-bye.